Jeff, it's Wendy Snyder. Very excited to go to Wizard World Comic Con because you know who's going to be there and you know who's in the studio.
Wendy, that would be one Ralph Macchio, the star of Karate Kid and many other great films. He's sitting right over there. Hi, Ralph.
Sitting
how are
right
you?
Here.
You look
right
just here. Like you, by the way.
I can't. You know, I thought about that this morning. I figured I'd bring the me that looks like me. So it works, and especially when we're at Wizard World and the fans are lining up. That it's always good to try to look like yourself.
It is, and yeah. Don't you love when the fans come up?
It's awesome. It's amazing. When I first started occasionally dabbling in this Comic-Con world, I didn't know what to make of it, and they've become so popular. It's crazy. I mean, I think some of that has to do with the amount of superheroes that are being put on the screens and on television these days. I always joke that I'm the only one in the building who doesn't have a superpower. But it's amazing how... You know, you make people happy, and they really, sort of embrace these roles you play or things that you do, 30
we
years
love
later. Some
nostalgia.
Of these, yeah, it's the nostalgia. That's the word. The nostalgia yeah. word is a big part of it. And that's the category, the pop culture nostalgia of where I fall in line, whether – You know, obviously the Karate Kid's a big, big part of that, but the Outsiders as well, and My Cousin Vinny, and then I get the grandmothers who watch Dancing with the Stars. How many grandmothers come to the Comic-Cons? They bring their grandchildren, and they bring me Dancing with the Stars photos.
Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, right, exactly. You should have seen him. So I get all these generations and the young kids, too, and the kids are probably... The thing that gives me the biggest charge when I see a 6 or 7 or 10 year old kid,
sure.
and they want to show me their crane kick, or they bring me the Outsiders book, and I sign it, Stay Gold, and
the
you know
kids
they
have
scream
to read
out loud, and they just love it.
The Outsiders, yeah. My kids in school, most kids have to read that book,
right?
And
right.
then they fast forward and watch the movie instead.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
But that
that's
movie right. was amazing in that every single person in the cast, some of them were semi-famous mm-hmm. when you guys shot it, some of them not so much. But whoever was the casting agent on that is
yeah,
brilliant. Everybody went on to big things.
Yeah, big credit goes. Janet Hershenson was the casting director, but and she deserves a tremendous amount of credit. But Fred Roos, which is Coppola, one of Coppola's producing
yeah.
partners. Fred Roos came his big, not his biggest break, but the one that was his first. Knocked it out of the park. Break was American Graffiti.
Oh,
so he cast
same
American
thing there.
Graffiti. And the Outsiders. I mean, that's, you know, he's sort of the choice of one at that time. And he was very, he just had a knack for finding the ensemble, you know.
Yeah, right.
Perfect ensemble.
And Francis Coppola, who is the director, and, you know.
What's ever happened with him?
He's in the wine
else?
Business.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, you're
and
right.
As,
I drink that wine.
And as he says, thank God for the wine business. I'm incidentally going to see him in November. We're doing a talk back for in Napa Valley, California, for the education program. They're doing, you know, because that's a book that's read in schools, The Outsiders, and so we're going to do a talk back. It'll be great to see him. But Francis also had a lot to do with how The Outsiders was cast.
Yeah.
He created a very theater environment, theater rehearsal environment. We all auditioned sort of together, which was just painful to watch other people. Like, you know, usually you audition one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's typically how it goes?
And yes, you just brought in, your turn, you come out, the next guy or next woman comes in, whatever. But The Outsiders, it was – everyone was in one big room. And Francis would just say, okay, you know, Dennis Quaid, you play this. Rob Lowe, you play that. Scott Baio, you play this. And Helen Slater, you play that.
Yeah.
And then he'd mix it up and come – So, and you never knew what he was thinking, you know, but he was trying to find the ensemble, right, as opposed to, you know, plugging and playing and seeing what would happen once you're rolling actual film.
I know that when you're auditioning and you're a young actor, Ralph, you do these auditions almost every day, but did you get a feeling with Karate Kid or with The Outsiders or any of the movies you've done, did you ever think during the audition, I really want and need this one. This one is going to be special.
That's a good question. The Outsiders is one I wanted because I read it when I was 12.
Yeah.
It was the first book, truly the first book I read from cover to cover without going, where are the cliff notes? How could I find
it? Right, because it was so
good. Let me
read
the last page.
Yeah.
I was a bad reader. I was, You know, any
book
that was thicker than a Hershey bar, I was like, oh, it's too long.
The book that gets the kids, though, yes, because it's so good.
Yeah, and it was, you know, there was so many characters you had the opportunity to relate to.
Yeah.
And not that I necessarily related to the Johnny Cade character, but his description was so much physically like I was, sort of the runt of the group, you know, dark hair, dark eyes,
sure.
The whole thing. So I connected with... And he was a sympathetic character.
Yeah,
great,
he was.
A great character.
Very much.
So with The Outsiders, I really wanted that part.
Yeah.
And even when going back to that audition process, there were times when Francis had me read Pony Boy or Two Bit, and I was just like, no, that's not the part I want. Literally, look at me like trying to direct the director. But so it took a long, and it was a long process, but I did. That was a huge win for me.
Yeah.
With The Karate Kid, I came in, I read for John Avildsen, the director, in his apartment. There was a whole bunch of guys out in the hallway,
and he's just coming off Rocky at that point, right?
Yes, yes. So Rocky was his big, one.
Yeah,
won the Oscar Best Director for the original Rocky film, and he basically said to me, and we have this tape is actually on YouTube. My actual first reading of Daniel LaRusso is on YouTube. You can find it because he asked me permission if he could put it up. And he wound up doing, he intercut it with my first audition and Pat Morita's, and he intercuts them.
Mm.
And it's really cool. You can find it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And Avildsen, after he turned the camera off, he goes, wow, you're a good actor. Have you ever taken karate? And at that point, I'm saying to myself, this is feeling pretty good, you know? This might happen, and at the end of the day, it did.
Yeah.
Had you taken karate before?
No. But he said, if I were you, I'd take a few karate lessons, which is what you want to hear from the director. But then it took about 2 months of time before it came through. He knew.
Yeah.
Avildsen's line to me when I called him back after, I guess a week later, which the directors, they never give you their number. I mean, basically you come and you read, thank you
That's
very
it.
Much.
We'll get
call
back
your
to
agent
you.
If you're...
Yeah.
He said to me, I asked him what was going on, and maybe it was a week or two out of memory, old man brain, but he goes, listen, all I can tell you is unless I find Spencer Tracy sitting in Los Angeles, you know, you're my guy.
Wow. Wow.
That was pretty good. That stuff doesn't happen so much anymore.
Very rare. You have a son named Daniel.
Yes.
Is he named after the character in Karate Kid?
Partly, yes. Much so. I mean, partly that, and my wife's best friend growing up is her cousin, who lives in Chicago. His name is Daniel.
Oh.
So she always had an affinity for that name. And with my name being Ralph, sort of old school, we were looking for something that sort of could stand the test of time, be classic, but yet not
sure.
go out of style.
Sure.
And so my son became Daniel Ralph.
Makes sense.
See, do karate?
Oh, please. No way.
I'm an orange belt.
You're not. Well, you're way ahead. I'm like, you know, eggshell.
A light cream colored belt.
Light cream, like yeah. I could kick, and not so
you
much.
You don't know
anymore.
Your katas?
No, those days are long gone.
Oh my god!
But I appreciate it, and everything goes through. I like the eggshell line. I got to make
that is good.
The eggshell. That's
down.
A good one.
Ralph Macchio in the studio with us. He will be at Wizard World Comic Con. It's happening in Rosemont. You can go to wizardworld.com. You're going to be there today through the weekend.
Yeah, this afternoon and every day through Sunday.
Beautiful. More with Ralph Macchio next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're visiting with Ralph Macchio before he heads over to Wizard World in Rosemont. I have to tell you, Bill, we're on the air. We've been on the air for 3 years together here.
Mm-hmm.
No one really comes down to visit
mm-hmm.
us. No one really pays much attention to us.
Mm-mm.
There are 10,000 texts coming in. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ralph Macchio is so freaking out. I had his posters all over my wall.
That's from me, by the way, Ralph.
I was just going to say.
During the break.
All the people from work are coming down, Ernie and Sarah and Stephanie. No one pays attention to us until we have a Ralph Macchio in the studio.
Listen, I'm glad to give back.
That's how it is, Ralph. I know that when you're at Comic-Con, you're going to get a line of people who love you from Karate Kid and some people from The Outsiders and some from whatever other movie, but I'm there in your 8 is enough line.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
you're
how
way
about
back.
It?
Yes, my line is 9 was too many. But listen... it gets a laugh, and that means I'm going to use it again.
Yes. But are you writing all this stuff down?
Yeah, no, I got good. I got good. I try to remember the good ones. But yeah, that was a great launch. That was my second big thing. I was in a movie called Up the Academy
with my best man at my wedding. Harry Tynowitz was your co-star.
Harry Tynowitz, right? Chicago Harry Tynowitz. Yeah. Wow, that's
oh,
so
stop.
Funny. That's no, absolutely.
Thanks for the mention, Bill.
You're welcome.
It was good. Nice. Well, I mentioned Up the Academy, so
yes.
I let him in. And then Eight Is Enough came, and it was I watched the show. I mean, that was when our television would have laugh tracks.
Yeah.
But it was a great time for me. You know, moved out to L.A. for a little bit, and
you were not one of the Bradfords.
No,
were...
I was the rebellious nephew.
Yes,
I was like, okay, let's get us a Scott Baio type for this show. As I was the life. Life preserver that became the anchor. I don't know.
Scott Baio
no,
type.
It was good. No, I think that might have been it. That because he was sort of just coming
he was
up,
right? Yeah.
And so it was good. Wow, that's a callback to 1980. Literally 1980.
That was must see television though for us growing up. We're all about the same age, and that was something we always watched.
Yeah, no. It's...
But Dick Van Patten had that quality. I think that Pat Morita had for you, where it was almost mentor father figure. Right?
He was. He was one of the sweetest men I ever worked with. Recently passed away, so he's sorely missed, Dick Van Patten. But he was, you know, if I did a scene with him, you know, I was young, up and coming, and trying to make sense of it, understand it all, and he would be very generous and offer little tidbits of information without notes and without it being like, you know, mandated notes and just very warm. And also, and as I've now have the wisdom to look back, he was also very respectful of the opportunities he had and did not take it for granted. And that you don't see very
often. That's very nice. That's nice to hear.
I'm wondering if you could put some headphones on because a listener wants to talk to you. Everybody is gushing all over the text line now. And someone even says whenever I have to use a fake name, I tell people my name is Ralph Macchio. So if there are random girls or guys reaching out to your guest on Facebook, that's my fault.
Ah,
nice try, buddy.
I love it.
All right, this is Lynn on the line. Lynn, Ralph Macchio in the studio.
Hey, Lynn,
how are you?
Good, I'm great.
How are you?
Very well.
This is very funny. Over the weekend, my dad's selling his house, so I was going through my old room, and I found a sheet torn out from a Tiger Beat or a Teen Beat, and it was like 100 things about Ralph Macchio. So I've got one of them now.
Oh, this will be good.
These always come back to bite me in the, you know, in the ankle, shall I say. Go ahead.
Well, we knew you were a devoted fan of the New York Islanders team, but it says, your stereo is one of your most prized possessions. Your car, your silver blue Mazda, is another. And you go for girls who are down-to-earth, honest, and clean-cut.
Wow. Wow. You know what? I'd like to say it was a Mazda 626 light blue stick shift, and I bought that when I was on Eight Is Enough for $9,088.88.
Brand new.
I remember that number because my dad was with me because I, you know, couldn't afford a car yet.
Sure, of course.
We just paid for it and drove it out of the showroom. And honest girls, down to earth. Yeah, I'd like to think my wife falls in line with all that stuff. So no matter how much I try to fool you that I'm dark, dirty, twisted.
It's not true.
I keep trying to fool you, but that's kind of where it is. That's awesome.
Lynn, thank you.
Thank you.
So when Tiger Beat would say they were interviewing a star like yourself, they legitimately were. I always just assumed it was just some guy pretending.
Sometimes there's this. I think I don't know if it was Jimmy Kimmel or I think it was Kimmel who pulled out one of those magazines and tested me, and I got like 4 out of 5 wrong. So that one was. I think we spoke to Tiger Beat and 16 magazine. Those were the ones that the phone lines were open to. But
they were your
like,
Times and Newsweeks.
Yes, right. I don't know if they were the Sun-Times or the Tribune, but yeah.
Those were such awesome pictures, like you just standing there looking lovingly into the camera next to Tony DeFranco.
I know, exactly. It's just so hideous.
We all loved it.
Yeah.
All right, we have another caller that wants to talk to you. This is Dave. Hey, Dave, Ralph Macchio. He'll be at Wizard World in Rosemont today through the weekend.
Hi, Ralph. How are you?
Dave, I'm very well. How about you?
Good. Hey, did you happen to see the internet article that went out about 2 years ago that posted a theory about Karate Kid that portrayed Daniel as the bad guy and the instigator and the other guy as the real good guy.
Yes. Yes, I've seen the video. The guy did a good job in sort of making this sort of documentary type thing of the breakdown of why LaRusso was the bully and Johnny Lawrence got the short end of the stick. I think, listen, my theory on that, first of all, I think anytime they can be talking about something you did 32 years ago and it become viral and be relevant and have millions of hits is only makes me smile, because that means people are still carrying on the legacy and that movie still has affected people.
Sure.
all these decades. I think his argument doesn't hold a whole lot of water, but I get it. I get where the perspective comes from, and I think a lot of that came from some of the writers on How I Met Your Mother, who teed up that Barney, Neil Patrick Harris' character, was always believed that the real Karate Kid was Johnny Lawrence, and that LaRusso won with the most illegal kick in the history of cinema. And it's just great stuff. It goes back to the same thing. This film, it was part of people's childhoods, and they take it to heart, and the fact that they break it down and make current relevant videos,
sure,
and theories, that's pretty awesome. Although, you know, he was already fighting with his girlfriend. I didn't steal her. Come on.
Thank you, Dave.
You know what's upsetting about the girlfriend, though, is in part one, you and Elizabeth Shue, for the moviegoers, were going, well, those kids are going to be together forever. That's love forever and ever and ever.
Right.
And then in part two, no.
Yeah,
she's not there anymore.
Well, that's when show business takes precedent over show art. I think at the end of the day, I was never a fan of that choice. It made no sense. And
yeah.
I know Elizabeth Shue, I won't speak for her, but I know she wasn't happy with the way they wrote that character off with one line of dialogue.
And then she ends up as a hooker and leaving
Las
Vegas.
Yeah, that's right, right. And she gets nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't the worst,
no, it was a
worst decision. She left LaRusso at the altar and went with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, whatever.
And watched him kill himself. And
right.
Yep. Boy, that's ending on a high note, isn't
yeah.
it?
There we
no,
go.
Not really.
We know how to reel him in.
Such a pleasure to meet you.
It's great to be here. This is a lot of fun.
We will see you at Wizard World. Bill, you're going tonight.
Yeah,
I'm going
I'll
Saturday.
Be there today.
I'll see you there, man. Thanks so much. Everyone, come on down. It's a good time. It really is.
Thank you, Ralph.
Go to wizardworld.com. Do you have any social media or website that you want to plug?
I just, you know, I'm on Twitter at Ralph Macchio, and Instagram, which I do less of, which is, I don't know what I am. So there's a line between the Ralph and the Macchio.
Because someone had, this guy had Ralph Macchio,
yeah,
the
right,
guy who
exactly.
texted.
Exactly, that's what it was.
Do you find yourself figuring out, should I put something on Instagram? Do I go with Twitter? I like Twitter a lot.
I go with Twitter much more. I got a lot of the outsider kids on Instagram because they're so young. So
mm-hmm.
I have all these, you know, 15-year-olds that I have to remind them that I'm the grandfather and unavailable. But
the Karate Grandfather.
That's right.
That's a great
but
sequel.
But they're mainly outsiders. So they're just outsiders. And it's really funny. And they'll come up to the Comic Cons with the book, and they'll be,
oh,
all right,
so
stay
cute.
Gold. And they have tears in their eyes. And
oh.
I just have to break down it. I got to call my wife. I'll be right back.
Oh.
But it's very sweet. It's wonderful stuff.
Of course.
Right,
great
man.
To meet you,
thanks,
Ralph.
You too, guys.
That's Ralph Macchio at Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com. It's Bill and Wendy back after this on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I have to admit, I was a little nervous to have Ralph Macchio in the studio.
Were you nervous? You don't usually get nervous with guests. Why were you nervous?
Because I had untoward thoughts about him
Did
when
you?
I was a young girl.
Did you?
Yeah, so that made me a little nervous. It's not just me, Bill.
no, I know
708
it's not just you.
Says, oh man, now I'm crushing on Ralph Macchio all over again.
Yeah. Certainly a very nice man, but he really, like, think about it. Those Karate Kid movies were 30 years ago, right? So when he comes in, you would know it was Ralph Macchio. He looks like Ralph Macchio. He's a little older, of course, but not dramatically.
I mean, you know, I see pictures of us when we started together a million years ago, and
yeah.
you look exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
maybe a tiny bit wiser.
That's a nice way of saying older, but thank you.
But, I mean, all in all, pretty much the same.
Yeah, I guess so.
Somebody else, oh, my God, so many fantasies in my life, co-starring Ralph Macchio.
Wow.
He's a babe.
I guess if you're him and you hear that, you take that as a compliment, right? Who would want to
hear
that?
What was so funny is he said when he's at Wizard World, he has all these 13-year-old kids coming up, and he has to explain, I could be your grandfather, and I'm not available, because
right.
I'm sure these 13-year-old girls are just sitting
right.
there, and their mom or dad goes, go talk to them, and they just sit there and, hi.
You know, it's really strange, and I think it's because everybody now has the ability with their phone if they want to be captured on videotape. Like when my daughters were little, we were always videotaping them, and then we'd watch those movies that we made. So whenever they would meet somebody who is actually on television or in a movie or something, so nonplussed by it, because you go, well, you're in a movie, but I've been in movies too, you know, just thinking you can watch yourself
really?
On TV. But yeah, I think it's a generation now where it's not as impressive. There's still some impression to it, but for the most part, you just go, yeah, you've been captured on film, just like me and everybody else I know.
See, I was very plussed.
Oh, me too. By everybody.
It's pretty exciting. Speaking of your girls, yeah. I was thinking about you last night because I know all your girls, your mm-hmm. twins and your wife, mm-hmm. are in New York getting Kylie set up for school.
Right.
You played tennis last night. What did you do? What'd you eat? I was going to call you, make sure you were okay.
You're very
I thought
nice.
You were going to get a puppy or something.
No, nothing like
did
that.
Did you feed
happened.
The rabbit?
Yeah, I am now in charge of caring for the rabbit. And much like when I was a kid and my mom and dad would go on a vacation, there are notes everywhere in the house.
Aww.
Don't let the rabbit touch this. Don't let the rabbit eat that. Like everywhere I go, there's notes. So, I'm not used to caring for an animal, obviously, but I think I did everything I was supposed to do in terms of the rabbit, I think.
I wish we had cameras to zoom in on you because, Kevin, I bet Bill was sitting on the couch with his hand in his pants with the rabbit next to him sharing a pizza.
What does that mean?
Watching a movie.
Very little of
just
that
in the
happened.
Belt line. He's probably cuddling up with the bunny.
That makes me want a bunny. Just a little bunny couch pail.
I know, isn't
sure.
that cute?
Yeah.
Did you sleep with the bunny?
No, nothing like that. Nope.
Have you heard word from New York?
Yeah, there were several back and forths last night, some phone calls and some texts, and then again this morning. And, I understand that this is the way it goes. This is the next progression level.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's going to take some getting used to. It really is. I mean, the house is empty now because they're all in New York, but...
Does that make it worse?
Yeah. Although, you know what was nice is I did a little grocery shopping and only bought stuff that I like, and that was nice.
Can we just hear what was on your shopping list when no one's around to look?
Nothing so
Lucky
incredible.
Charms.
No, it was all...
No Pop-Tarts?
No. Oh, there was some snack food. There was some ice cream and stuff. But for the most part, it's really interesting when you just shop for yourself. Because usually when you're shopping for everybody, you're like, oh, I have to balance this out. How selfish will it look if I only buy things for me?
Right.
But all this week, it's just me. So I just bought stuff that only I like. It was great.
When do they come home?
Sunday. Sometime Sunday.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice of you to ask. I'll be okay.
Is it easier today than it was yesterday, or is it the same?
No, it's the same because I'm tricking myself into thinking that when Reese comes back and Terry comes back, that Kylie will also come back. I'm tricking myself, but when I pick them up at the airport on Sunday and there's only two out of the three, then there's going to be a moment of reckoning. You know, hey.
And again, you wanted to go with, because if people are tuning in and wondering why you didn't go with to get Kylie all set up at college,
yeah.
Reese told you you weren't allowed to come, right?
Reese convinced the rest of the family that it would be a mistake because of, I was like a gusher. Like I was, when Reese went to University of Dayton last year and I was in on the drop-off process.
After a tennis tournament, right?
Yeah, in Indy. I drove back and forth between Indianapolis and Dayton. I could not stop crying.
Oh,
I was so emotional.
Did you get the shoulder shake going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know it's coming. And the weirdest things set it off. Just the strangest, weirdest things. But several times, I just couldn't stop crying. And he said to Kylie, you don't want that. Because there's other kids there that they're just meeting for the first time that are there in their...
Who's that crying guy? Oh, that's my dad.
That's the saddest guy in the world there, my dad.
Can I tell you, Bill, I was already thinking of next week, and I'm like, I think Noah should say goodbye to us at our car so that I'm not in his room.
That's what we talked to that woman from Grown and Flown, and she said that that's a good way to do it, because if you get in there,
yes.
into their dorm room, to say your goodbyes, I mean, you should help them set up and everything, but if you say your goodbyes there, it's going to be way harder.
Right.
You're tearing up now. Will you stop it? You're making me
feel
so bad.
You know what? There's this thing that your brain does to you where I did it with Reese last year and I did it with Kylie 2 days ago, where you see them as the 19-year-old they are, but it's also the pictures fluttering between them being 19 and them, you know, being just an infant and you helping them learn to walk and stuff. And it just keeps going back and forth. You go, no, that's a 19-year-old kid whose time it is to go to college. No, that's just a little baby who I'm teaching how to do everything in the world. And it's weird how your brain just plays those two cards back and forth, you know?
Did you, you know, before she left, did you pick her up under her arms and throw her above your head
and
catch
that.
Her like you did when she was a baby?
I found her duchy that was hidden under the couch. I gave her her duchy back.
Is that a blanket or an animal?
That's her pacifier.
Oh, a duchy. Pass the duchy on the left-hand side.
I don't know why she named it that, but every kid just has it in their head, whatever their pacifier is going to be called, and then the rest of the family goes, okay, it's a duchy, whatever.
Ours was a pipe.
Yeah, a pipe.
That's what my mom said.
I've heard other people say that, too.
Where's my pipe? And it's so funny because when the kids were little and they'd wake up in the middle of the night and the pipe wasn't in their mouth, you'd just hear them going, where's my pipe?
Yeah.
Where's my pipe?
Yeah.
The best name I ever heard was Fooler.
A Fooler?
Because that's what it is.
It's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
That is what it is. You mentioned going shopping and getting stuff that just you liked. Diane, you've done that, huh?
Yes, I told your producer that I have been a widow for 4 years, and for three of those, every time I went to the store, I felt an obligation to get whatever.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one day, I'm going to the counter to check out, I look down at my cart, the only thing I had in there was vodka and hair dye. I figured I had probably gotten.
You are my kind of woman. What color was it?
The hair dye, not the vodka.
No, say the vodka's clear.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
You are welcome.
Bye.
That's the way to solve the problem. You'll get over
it. You looked at the cart yesterday, and like if there were 1,000 carts at the Jewel, you'd go, well, that's Bill's stuff. It's all grapefruit juice and ice cream. And I mean, it's just me for a couple of days, so I didn't have to worry about getting anybody anything else that they liked.
Well, call us if you need us. Kevin can come over to play Magic the Gathering with you.
Or we could build a fort or something.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be bad. All right.
I could come by with Tiki and give you some love from the dog.
Oh, I'm leaving town, did I mention?
Yeah. I'll cook for you.
I got to go. A quick break and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Lou Manfredini will be sitting in for us from 10 to noon tomorrow. Then Steve Bertrand, we cannot fail to mention him because he's going to be out at the Bolingbrook Golf Club, too. He's going to be doing the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Bolingbrook.
From noon to 1, then we're on 1 to 3.
Yes, and we will be teaching diction classes. Steve, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
A special surprise guest. How much of this do I want to reveal?
Should I know not who it is, anything? And is that
should
it's
I not,
not
say
that
anything?
Big of a surprise.
It's a Chicago celebrity that has something very special to do with the town of Bolingbrook. I don't want to say anything beyond that. Some interesting. Some interesting memories and thoughts about something having to do with Bolingbrook's history. Right?
Boy, you're selling it, man.
Should I not? I don't want to say any more than that. That's plenty. I've said too much. I retract what I just said.
Yeah,
because
it's going to be a letdown after this big buildup.
Oh, you're going to see. People will be confused by it. you know, Dancing with the Stars, Wendy, is coming back for their 23rd season.
Ralph Macchio was part of it.
Right. He was a former contestant, dancer on Dancing with the Stars. How did he do, by the way? Do we know?
Never watched it in my life. Bertrand, do you watch it, Dancing with the Stars?
No.
I guess not.
He does not. So it's coming back for its 23rd season, and they've revealed that each of the previous 22 seasons, there is one particular star that they have asked every single time. Every time they do a Dancing with the Stars, they say to this celebrity, we're doing another one, we really want you, please come dance with us. And this person has said, thanks but no thanks. Who would that be?
Wow.
Who could it be? Other people have been asked many times, but after a while, the Dancing with the Stars people go, well, they're obviously not interested. I'm going to stop, but not with this person.
Dolly Parton.
Why would you say that?
She would tip over while trying to dance.
Oh.
Donald Trump.
It is not Donald Trump.
That's a good guess.
It is also not Dolly Parton, by the way.
So 22 seasons. It's not 22 years, right? Do they
it's
have more
not,
than 1 year?
Okay, good. I think they do 2 a year, don't
okay.
they?
I think it must
but
be.
But even that means they've been doing this for 11 years. When this show started, Steve, I said to myself, the very first time I saw ads for it, I went, there's no way anyone would watch this because they're not stars. And even if they were, do we care if they can waltz or not?
I don't know. It's like the people on the Love Boat, right?
Yeah, but we watch the Love Boat all the time.
Yeah, but for different reasons. I don't know what the reasons are. I can't think of why we watched it.
Because there wasn't much to choose from back then.
Yeah, I guess that's why. But when this started, I said, but this won't last till the end of the year. They'll cancel this midway through the season. And now 23 seasons later, not years, but seasons later, still going strong.
You do like to see, you know somebody from their movies. You'd like to see someone out of their element, I guess.
But have you ever seen anybody in anything, a movie, a TV show, an athlete, and said, I wonder how good they are at the tango. I bet that guy would be a great tangoer. Have you ever said that?
No, maybe not really.
No.
But it's kind of interesting to see it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't like to dance, such as yourself.
Right. That should be a show called Not Dancing with the Stars, where we just sit and watch.
People come up and say, would you like
to
dance?
Why aren't you dancing?
No, would you like to dance? No, I don't dance.
I don't care to dance.
I hate dancing.
That would be the hour. And Tom Bergeron would say, come on, this week you don't want to just dance a little bit? No thanks, Tom Bergeron. I'll just sit and watch.
So then it would end up just Tom Bergeron dancing, doing these solo routines?
Yes. Yes. Hmm.
Do you have the whole list of who's going to be on it?
No, they have not announced yet.
Okay.
The stars, and when I say stars, I don't mean it, for the 23rd season of Dancing with the Stars. There's never been stars on it.
Yes, there has.
There's been a couple people that are...
Check out the history.
But when I say stars...
Lynn Swan...
All right, save Lynn Swan.
I don't even know if he was
your former Pittsburgh Steeler.
I was going to bring that up, like certain athletes. There's been like active athletes still. Does that count?
Yeah, didn't they have the Apollo Ono once?
Apollo Ono.
Yes, and he was hotter than hell.
Anton Apollo Ono. Right?
There's been some NFLers, I know.
Who broke up the Beatles, didn't he, Steve? Isn't he the reason the Beatles broke up?
He did, yeah. But have you heard him sing? He cannot sing.
Right, not a good singer.
Terrible singer.
See, I would actually rather hear them sing, but most of the...
Singing with the Stars
is
a show.
Let's put that together.
I love
that. We got to jump on this.
That's a better concept.
Doug Flutie.
But again, give me a list of when I say stars, I go, Wendy, you know what? I just saw five of the biggest stars in the world.
Ginger Z.
I'm not positive.
There was Emmitt Smith, Antonio Brown, Von Miller, Hines Ward. They're all NFL stars.
Well, but the point is they're not at their peak.
Right.
Jody Sweetin from Full House.
Rodgers this year Manning.
See, Antonio Brown and Von Miller are both mega stars in the NFL right now.
Misha Barton
I would not say is a star.
Marla Maples.
Not a star.
Kim
he
Fields.
Says with declaration.
Tootie.
Not Tootie.
She's a star. Geraldo Rivera. I couldn't even say
none
it.
None of those people that you just mentioned are stars.
Oh, stop it.
But stars are bigger than life, Wendy. Stars are...
Like Matt Damon? George Clooney?
Yes. Those are stars.
Let's make our own we'll call it Dancing with the Real Stars.
Yes. All caps.
All right, so who's the person who...
has been asked every season.
And is still declining?
Will not do the show,
Will
despite
Smith.
The fact. No. Why? But that's
you
an
said
interesting...
Will.
Oh, no, it's not it Will Smith. Former President Bill Clinton has been asked 22 times in 22 seasons of Dancing with the Stars if he would like to appear as one of the guest contestants, and each time he has said no.
Because each time is a bad time for him. Because he's always got some scandal going on, and right now his wife is running for president, so now's not a good time.
They said, the woman who is the casting director of Dancing with the Stars, and I didn't know you could call, it just says here, it says DWTS, I didn't realize you could
Dancing
do that.
Dancing with the Stars.
I didn't know you could shorten it, I thought that was illegal.
WTF.
It says...
That's what my new show is going to be called.
DWTS.
I thought that's what this was called.
It is. Privately. It is privately called that. It says DWTS casting director Deanna Katz told ABC, you know, I ask Bill Clinton every time, but this time I actually didn't ask him because I thought he might be just a little too busy. So this time he gets a reprieve. This might be the time he'd want to do it to get his mind off of things.
Wow.
He doesn't do it until she leaves office. He can't wait, but he's not going to do it until she leaves office.
And then he'll need some way to keep in the limelight, so he'll for sure do it. Yeah. And then they're going to stop asking him.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I hope you're wrong, though.
That's the point, right? Then they're going to ask her, what? I said no 22 times?
All right, we need to take a break. Steve has the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, I kept telling you, as the Olympics were approaching, this Ryan Lochte is going to pretend that he was robbed at gunpoint in Rio. And you said, that'll never happen.
That didn't happen.
I thought I said that. I must have told somebody. What do you think happens now? Like, some of the people who are in this story are still there in Rio, but Ryan Lochte's here in the United States. Will he have to...
He's got to return.
He's got to go back.
I would imagine. I just know that he was very quick to get out of there. And could you imagine the two dudes that got pulled off the plane? They thought for sure they're on their way home. And it's like, all of a sudden, excuse me, could you come with me?
Right. That's uncomfortable.
And that's why they fessed up, man, because this got serious all of a sudden.
When you're plotting something like this, and I'm new to crime. I know you've dabbled in it for years, but I'm very new to crime. Don't you try to figure out, don't you say, well, this isn't just an incident. This is an international incident. We're big name Olympians. Someday we may get asked to be on Dancing with the Stars. We're that big. Do we want to jeopardize that for this?
That's what I mean. I know Roe had his theory where he thought that they were doing something maybe...
I still think there's more to this than we're hearing.
Right, because, I'm sorry, you go to use a bathroom in a gas station.
Yeah.
You go in and get the key. You don't break down the door. How many times have you done like a road trip where it's like, you know, you'd prefer to stop at a restaurant, but sometimes, you know, only one of the gas stations will do.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them for locking their doors. You have to come in so they can see that you're not a ne'er-do-well.
Right.
And they give you the key.
The door is locked.
Yeah, you don't just...
Locked.
Yeah. Isn't it? See, there's something up with that.
Yes.
That's a bad story.
It just doesn't make... I mean, look, Ryan Lochte has been criticized in the past for not being that sharp, you know?
People, he's good-looking. Who cares? He's a great swimmer.
He's very handsome, and he is a very good swimmer.
He's really cute.
If you are familiar with him, one of the knocks on him is that they say, allegedly, isn't that bright of a guy. So do you, like, are you quickly figuring out your moves as this story's unfolding? And, well, we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll say we were robbed at gunpoint and that'll work. And it just doesn't, as you're formulating this, you say to yourself, this can't possibly be good for us. The truth is the best answer.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is, but, you know, you don't beat down a door.
No.
But see, now the New York Times is saying something.
You swim away. Like, whatever bad thing is happening, you pretend you're swimming and you swim away from it.
This is from the New York Times. The American swimmers who claim they were assaulted at gunpoint over the weekend by assailants posing as police officers. So, again, it's like they added too many layers.
Right.
Fabricated their account.
And then there were dinosaurs and pirates. Just telling stuff like that.
After watching the video and hearing testimony from witnesses, the Brazilian police have determined the incident involved damage to a bathroom door at a gas station where the swimmers stopped in the early hours Sunday on the way back to Athletes Village from a party.
Mm-hmm.
A Brazilian police official who had reviewed the video images said that there had been no armed assault, contrary to what the swimmers had claimed. Again, why do you even bring up the gun? Oh, because they had to pay for the door of the bathroom,
right.
And evidently they needed to explain where all their money went.
It just seems so hard to believe. And in the video, it's really weird because in the surveillance video, you see it regular, and then you also see it by way of an underwater camera. I don't know why how did that happen? I can't imagine why that happened.
The case made global headlines. Again, this is from the New York Times. The case made global headlines after the Olympic gold medalist Ryan Lochte claimed that men posing as police officers had pulled over their taxi. Again, you're adding too many layers that can't be proved.
Right. And also, there's too many guys involved. Like, if there was one guy, you could almost sell it. But if you got four guys, the stories have to be exactly the same.
And you know the game of telephone. No one ever translates it the same way.
It doesn't work.
So he said that this, that men posing as police officers had pulled over their taxi and that an assailant had put a cocked gun to his forehead before taking his money. And Roe was playing the audio of him, of Ryan Lochte explaining this. And it's like, so a guy puts a gun to my head and I'm like, whatever. You don't say whatever when somebody puts a gun to your head.
No.
You get here. What do you want?
What else?
You want my firstborn? I'll give you them too when that happens.
Right.
And then he later altered his account, saying that the taxi stopped at a gas station so they could use the bathroom. So right away it was had some holes in it, the story did. A different description of events is emerging from Brazilian authorities, as you heard Steve Bertrand mention. Officials say the taxi carrying the swimmers stopped at a Shell gas station about 6 a.m. shortly after the men exited a party at Club France, an Olympic hospitality house established in the upscale Lagoa district. At the gas station, which is in Barra de Tijuca.
Where is it located?
Barra da Tijuca. On the route to the athletes' village, the swimmers went to the bathroom. This is embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
This is really embarrassing. In the process, according to the account by investigators, damage was done to the bathroom door and a discussion ensued with the manager and a security guard.
Yeah.
Someone at the gas station called the police, but by the time a police car arrived at the scene, the swimmers were gone.
Yeah.
Witnesses, including a person who offered to translate for the swimmers, said that they paid money to the manager before leaving. So did the manager then tell the police, look for these guys, and that's how it all came to light? Because if they paid for the damage to the door, call it a day, move along, and say, let's keep this quiet.
So they
did not give him enough? Did they give him like $10?
Oh, I wonder. I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of that.
The story keeps getting more and more.
Yes, it does, Kevin. It's true.
All right, Kevin, listener Kevin, so what do you think of this crazy story?
Well, I think it's unfortunate. And like you just said, Wendy, maybe he's not the smartest or the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Bill said that. I didn't. I said he's cute.
Oh, no, but you said that, you know, what's with this? Or he's maybe just not so good.
He's not the most buoyant floaty in the pool. That's what you say. Yeah, that's how you say
it. At least it's a floaty in the pool, not something from Caddyshack.
Right.
But anyway, so my point is, so here's people. He did very well this year and last Olympics. So he has an opportunity to make a lot of money.
Right.
People usually do that. So he's not going to get on the Wendy's box, but if he had a chance. Oh, what?
Sorry. You're talking about Shaft.
If he's not going to get on box, he probably just lost his opportunity to even get on, like, the Lucky Charms box or something.
Yeah.
You know, at least he could have made some money doing that.
Yeah, they're going to lose money in endorsements because they're liars. They ruined a bathroom door, which shows they're vagrants.
They could endorse porta potties.
Yeah. Oh,
well, there's a way.
You even said the hookah place where they was.
What's it called, Wendy?
Barra da Tijuca.
Da Tijuca.
We want to make sure she says it as many times as she can during the show today. But the other thing you guys talked about yesterday is, so let's take Michael Phelps.
Yes.
You know, when he comes into the airport, he's worth $7 million. Why not get a private plane? You know, if he wanted to avoid that stuff, he probably didn't get the private plane because he wanted to save his money for the hookah.
Oh, maybe.
All right, Kevin, you're crazy.
It's possible.
Thank you for calling, though. I appreciate your theory.
He's
going to blame it on Rio.
I know this is a strange disclaimer, but I need to make a quick disclaimer. When I just said shut your mouth, it was part of the lyrics to Shaft. I don't want people who don't know the lyrics to Shaft to be mad at me because I said shut your mouth.
First of all, it's me you're saying it to. Everybody applauded you when you said it.
But
everybody knows that.
Shut
your mouth.
And talking about Shaft, that's the next lyric to the song Shaft.
I'm not mad at that. I'm mad that you whipped out the Shaft.
Nah, I just...
All right, Nick DiGilio, please stop. Leave me alone, Nick.
I just don't want somebody who just heard that casually That was the most pleasant sound I ever heard. What was that?
That was put your seatbelts on because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
It is going to be a bumpy ride.
We're getting on-air turbulence.
But I don't want anyone who isn't familiar with the theme from Shaft to think I was being mean to you. I was. I probably was in other ways, but not in this way.
You're not blatantly mean to me.
No. It's subliminal the way it's supposed to be. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more.
This political correctness has you freaked out a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Please don't.
Just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I know that you're a White Sox fan. We've talked about that many times on the show. But even as a true blue White Sox fan, please tell me you saw a true black and white Sox fan. Please tell me that you saw the catch that Anthony Rizzo, the Cubs first baseman, made 2 days ago.
I did.
Wasn't that spectacular?
I didn't watch it as the game was playing, but it was all over social media because it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah. For people who didn't see it, find it on the internet. It's all over the internet. It's Anthony Rizzo getting a ball that's in foul territory where he jumps up on the embankment. He really could have. I mean, I hate to be an alarmist, but he could have
totally injured himself or a fan.
Or a fan. But I think on at least two or three other occasions this year that I've seen anyway, he has made circus catches on balls that he has no business getting near that are in the stands. This ball was in the stands. He went and got it. I've never seen anything like that.
It was the anti-Bartman.
It was, wasn't
you know?
It? It really was. As Bartman was to interfering with a ball that maybe Moises Alou should have caught, Anthony Rizzo took a ball away from some people who live in Roselle. So take that, Roselle dwellers.
All right, we're talking about Ryan Lochte, and he was at a gas station, which is in Barra da Tijuca.
What does that translate as, Wendy? Do we know? Barra?
Bar.
Day.
Of.
Tijuca.
No, it's T-I-J-U-K-A, and I'm assuming the J is a huh. I took French, so really, I must not be pronouncing it correctly. Oh. Sergio, how are you?
Okay, fine.
I'm not saying it right, am I?
No, Barra. Well, in real, they always say Barra. Yeah. Tijuca.
Wait, what, one more time?
Barra or Barra. In the South, we'll say Barra, in South Brazil.
South Brazil.
But in Rio, they say Barra.
Yeah.
Da Tijuca.
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 That's what I said, Tijuca.
Tijuca. And what does this what does this mean?
It's a location. It's a suburb.
Oh, but there's no translation? It doesn't mean anything?
Barra, it's a barra, it's a piece of land that jets into the ocean.
Like barrio?
No.
No, barra.
Barra.
What's it?
Like a bar that barra. Juts out into the ocean, kind of.
Yeah, yes. All a right. Barra.
All right.
Okay.
And is this area notorious for Olympic athletes coming in and just messing up the restrooms? What goes on there?
Not necessarily. No. A lot of people live there. It's a very
nice place.
Big area.
Yeah.
It's newer. I mean, not that new. It's newer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of. I got a niece that lives there.
Oh. All
in Barra da Tijuca. She lives right there.
Well, thank you for helping me with that. Barra da Tijuca.
Tijuca.
Barra, that's the way we say it in the South Brazil.
All right. Very
so
nice.
You're Brazilian?
They go Barra, yes.
You're Brazilian, huh?
From the South, so I'll say Barra.
Are you upset, Sergio, that you're not there for the Olympics? Wouldn't that be nice to see it there in your home country?
Well, I got my niece there with she's got two daughters, very blonde, you know, from the South Brazil. They're all living in Rio. Yeah, no, I'm not upset.
You're not upset that you're missing it. All right.
No, I'm here. I watch TV. I listen to the radio. I listen to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, are you worried about your niece and the whole Zika scare over there, Sergio?
They're not.
They're not worried.
Nope. See, today they were there at lake there, that lagoa, and they jumped into that water, and they were talking so bad about the water.
Yeah.
Exactly that. There's a lot of fish kill in that lagoon once in a while.
But fish, not people.
Right.
No. You know, they die off just like, like in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, they have a big die-off of fish.
All right. Well, thank you, Sergio. We appreciate it. Can you say the name one more time, just so Wendy and I have it down? We're saying it right. It is pronounced what now? Bara.
Yes, you got it. Bara.
Tijuca. Okay, I'll say it that way. Thank you so much, Sergio. I'm half Jewish.
No, okay, so that's how you say it.
All right.
Tijuca.
Okay. I thought he was...
Thank you, Sergio. Adios.
Take care. Thank you. Ciao.
Gracias.
I thought he was being derogatory, but he was not.
No,
so
he
was
not.
Fine. Everything's
you're
fine.
You're doing a lot of apologies today.
A lot. Today's Apology Thursday.
Because your daughters are gone, you're a little sensitive
and
sentimental.
I think that's what it is. Hmm. I really do. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's coming up in the news next with Kim Gordon. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy. It's 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. Great job. And we have an in-studio guest.
It's Patrick McDonald, Wendy, the film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com, also the chief tour guide for Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com or give them a call at 312-593-4455 if you like. Hi, Patrick.
Thank you, Bill.
How are you?
And we are running 10:30 on Saturday and 12:30 on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Is this summer meeting expectations? You know, the two busiest seasons for movies are your summer season and your holiday season. And it seems like this year, a lot of the big name movies that were so highly anticipated have just kind of come and gone very quickly.
Yeah, it's really tough to say. It's hard for me to judge sometimes because you see them, you put out the review, and then suddenly they're 3 weeks past, and you're like, did I do that one or did I see that one?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that sense, nothing is really memorable. I love Star Trek Beyond, and. But, you know, am I going to run out to the theater and see it again? You know, probably not, just because I don't see anything twice recently. So
I don't really ever see anything
twice.
You
don't, do you?
I know, and I laugh at my husband for watching Star Wars like 500 times.
Yeah.
Because, I guess if it's a movie you really love, but it just seems foolish to me to go see it again.
See it over and over.
Well, I mean...
Maybe later in your life.
Cinema comfort food. That's what most people treat movies like. You know, if they're in a certain mood and they want to watch Die Hard again, they will. You know, that's what gets them going.
You know, last night, my family's in New York.
Okay.
And last night, after I played tennis, my plan was a friend and I were going to go see this movie Lights Out that came out a couple of weeks ago, a mm-hmm. horror film, got great mm-hmm. reviews.
Yeah.
It's already gone. It's in some theaters. It's still in a couple of theaters. But it opened really big and with good reviews, and I couldn't find it yesterday. It was playing nowhere near me.
That's pretty interesting because it's made $57 million on a $4.9 million.
So it's playing somewhere.
Yeah.
It's playing somewhere.
I was going to say probably underperformed, but it doesn't look like from this list. So.
No, it did all right.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yes.
Every once in a while, a movie will come along, and I'll use Suicide Squad as a great example.
Okay.
Most critics really trashed that movie. They
yes.
did not like Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But then it has a huge opening week, and then here's what always happens, or nearly always happens. After that first initial week, it just takes a huge, huge free fall.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It opened on 4,200 screens.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can't. Almost can't go wrong because it's going to be in every town
right.
and every city in America.
Right.
And, you know, if that's the movie of the week or the flavor of the week, they're going to go for it. And there was a big backlash against the critical trashing of that film.
And even from Jared Leto himself. He said he was tricked into playing the role.
Somebody tricked him into playing the Joker. That's not good,
they
Patrick.
Tricked him when they gave
him Ryan Lochte tell him a story that wasn't true?
I'm sorry.
Did Olympic athlete Ryan Lochte make up a story for him? What happened?
That's very odd, isn't it?
It is.
I mean,
it is. But doesn't this show that if you have an audience for any given movie,
yes,
like people who were going to see Suicide Squad, didn't matter if every critic in the world hated it,
right.
They had made up their minds they wanted to see that movie.
Well, there was a survey after the film. There was a survey company that actually asked moviegoers what they thought, and 70% gave it a positive review.
Did they?
I think, you know, you're much more discerning. I mean, let's just say when you pay for a movie and go in and your expectation is, well, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my tub of popcorn and I'm going to watch Suicide Squad. You're probably going to like it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you plan to do. Whereas a critic goes, you know, and this is his fifth screening of the week or his fourth superhero film of the summer.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, you know.
Seen it.
Well, then they shouldn't be a critic. Well, aren't you supposed to go in it with an open mind?
Yes, yes, but I think there's a comparative thing going on. You know, there's a constant give and take in comparison with the critics regarding just actual movie going. It's a different experience for
right.
us. It is. I mean, that you have to be truthful when you're saying that. I gave it 3 out of 5.
Did you? Okay, so that's yes. that's one of the more positive reviews.
Yes.
Most of the reviews I saw just shredded it.
They were all sociopaths, and I think that's what I connected
maybe that's
to.
What it is. You recognize a little bit of yourself
exactly.
in there.
Exactly.
All right, so how do you separate when you're going into a movie? Because even you've been a film critic for quite a while, but
yes.
even you must have, like, there's certain movies where you're really, really looking forward
oh, yeah.
to it.
Yeah. I mean, Star Trek Beyond, perfect example.
Yeah.
And, you know, to go in there and, you know, have a high expectation and then come out with still, hey, they did it. They brought it forward. But the second Star Trek movie didn't do it for me at all.
No.
You know, and I went in with the same high expectation. So, you know, and then there's the ones that surprise you that, you know, you didn't expect this to be good. And then it suddenly is, you know, top of the list.
Isn't that the best?
That is the
best. I love when that happens.
That's the best.
Patrick Wendy yesterday had a suggestion for
yes.
Hollywood. She said, put Star Wars and Star Trek together in one movie. Please tell her why that
well,
could never happen.
Can I just say, I didn't say they should do it. I said with J.J. Abrams doing both,
yeah.
I was talking this over with Jimmy Mack, and I said, what do you think? And he said, I don't know that they're going to do it, but boy, it would really be a good movie. I don't think it's... I think it could happen.
It would be... Aren't they parallel universes? No, I guess
well,
it is a galaxy far, far
Star
away.
Star Wars happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Star Trek
good.
Happened in the future.
Right.
But so, I guess...
time travel, I don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
It's just maybe they're, you know, cruising by and they wave to Worf or something.
Oh, all right.
The old wormhole.
That would be a good scene, I guess.
Didn't they have one of the E.T. aliens in one of, like, the
yes.
Senate scenes?
Yes, they did.
In one of the Star Wars. Yeah.
It could happen.
So there you go. You might see Kirk at the Senate.
All right. Time. Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Patrick MacDonald is here. He's the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's the chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. Go to Chicago
hey,
Film
chief.
Tour.
Hey, chief.
Don't you insist that people call you that when you're on the
yes,
tour?
Yes, I do.
He's adamant. You must refer to Patrick as chief when doing that.
Who was that, Nancy Culp?
Nancy Culp. Yeah.
Chief!
Stick around. More to come.
More
it's us, Bill and
Woody. Post-baby boomer memories
right.
to come.
It's us, Bill and Woody on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Patrick MacDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. Chief guide, and yes, you have to call him chief when you're on the tour of Chicago Film Tour. Go to chicagofilmtour.com. All the information's there. Patrick, we had
yes.
Earlier today, Ralph Macchio sat exactly where you're sitting.
Wow.
Of Karate Kid fame and The Outsiders
awkward.
And My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
And so many others. All right, so Ralph Macchio was there, and I brought up to him one of my biggest pet peeves in movie sequels, and here's what it is. All through The Karate Kid, his character Daniel-san, is in love with Elizabeth Shue.
Right.
And then when they get together at the end, you say to yourself as a filmgoer, well, they're meant to be. That's they will stand the test of time. Those are two kids that are in love and good for them. They're together forever. And then in Karate Kid, there's no sign of Elizabeth Shue. She's out of the picture. Time to move on. I've seen this in other films, too, where the whole movie, the movie Ted, the subplot of Ted is that there's a man and a woman that are in love, and then Ted 2 comes out and she's gone. Why?
Well,
there should be a law against that, right?
Well, teenagers are so fickle.
But not in Ted. They weren't teenagers. Mila Kunis isn't a teenager.
Mila.
When My Baby Smiles at Me.
They also smoke a lot of marijuana in that movie.
Well, they did, didn't they?
They did.
And they had a talking bear, and that didn't confuse me at all, but their love relationship did for some reason.
There you go.
Right. So shouldn't the MPAA make a law that says
yes.
if you set up a love story in part one, when the sequel comes, they still have to be in love?
Yes, they should.
Yeah,
that should
so.
Be called the Ralph Macchio rule.
The Ralph Macchio law. I like it.
Yes,
I like
if
it.
If you're out there, Ralph.
Movie-wise, this year,
yes.
this week, there is
yes.
an animated film that opened that looks so good, and I'm hoping it is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's an amazingly beautiful film, 4.5 out of 5. It's called Kubo and the Two Strings. This is a film from the same people who brought you Coraline, The Box Trolls, Paranorman.
Mm-hmm.
They do that kind of George Pal puppetoon, stop motion type animation, but they, you know, use a computer.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of 3D printing, by the way, to formulate their characters.
That's so really cool.
It's a really amazing process. And in fact, the guy who directed it, Travis Knight, is the son of Phil Knight from Nike.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he worked, Travis worked for Will Vinton Studios, who did the PJs.
Yeah.
And his father said, hey, that's a good investment. So he bought Will Vinton Studios, changed it to LAIKA, L-A-I-K-A, Entertainment. And they produce Coraline and the subsequent
three
films.
Boy, they do good work.
They do excellent work. They're very much in the classical animation school.
Yeah.
So
George Pal is the one who did the animation way back, like from the Time Machine and Puppetoon. Yeah. And, it's some of the first stop motion. Harryhausen's the other guy, right?
Yes.
See the other guy that used to do that? Yeah. All right. So this movie, it's what's the storyline? What are we getting with
this? The storyline's a classic sort of Wizard of Oz journey. A boy is in a battle and initially loses an eye. His mother raises him on the oceanfront, but he goes into the village. He has a magic box guitar, and he's able to strum it. And what's amazing to me is it forms little origami figures, like the paper folding figures, and they become animated, and that's what entertains the villagers. So he has a sense of magic, and once somebody discovers his sense of magic, the sorcery of good and evil fight for his soul, and he ends up traveling with a beetle and a monkey.
Best way to travel, Patrick.
Right.
Get a beetle and a monkey. I would pick Paul McCartney and Peter Tork.
There you go. Wow. Wow. There's the pun of the day, folks.
So the story you're describing, the story you're describing, it sounds more adult than it does childish to me.
I think kids will love this. It's a very simple story, just like Finding Dory. You know, it has a moral that kids can attach themselves to, and they can understand that moral through the journey of the characters, and that's what they did in Finding Dory, and that's what they did in Kubo, and I think those two are going to compete for best animated film. Of course, we haven't seen what they're going to come up with in the fall yet, but so far, those are two just superior animated films this summer. I mean, there's an argument the animated films have overtaken the live action.
This story has Asian roots, correct?
Yes, it's
fairly well known story.
It's a wholly new story. They tried to make it like a folktale, but they made up the story themselves.
Now
there's a little controversy because they're the only Asian voice in it is George Takei. Excuse me.
Oh my.
So
we should take that on the road, you guys.
Want to travel with that? All right,
a 3-person show for one man.
No,
and he's fourth on the list after Charlize Theron, Matthew McConaughey, and Ralph Fiennes.
So people are saying you have a story with a bunch of Asian characters.
Yes.
Why weren't there more Asian actors employed?
And I got to interview Travis Knight, and I asked him that question. I said, called it the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And when he was giving the answer while I was in the interview room, I was like, it sounds like a politician's answer. But when I did transcribe it, he did describe the process of putting together an animated film. And one of the processes is casting. And one of those considerations in casting is just getting the best person there with no concern for genetic makeup, just how they act with the character in front of the microphone. Now, I countered that to open a animated film, it helps if you have some movie stars, right?
Sure it does.
So, you know, I think it's a combination of both with them. And McConaughey and Charlize Theron do an excellent job.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
The movie, again, is called Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes.
And it is or it is not in 3D?
It is in 3D.
Yeah.
Yes. 3D and IMAX as well. I don't know if IMAX is going to show it here, but check your local listings, as they say.
I'm sure you encounter people who say this all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in a bigger Plex theater situation, some theaters will carry it in 3D and some will not, and they'll go, I don't need to see it in 3D. But a lot of times with a movie that was made with that intention, you do want to spend the extra couple dollars.
Well, this is spectacular too. It's sumptuous. It's just in the animation. They kind of go
great adjective.
Sumptuous, I Wendy. Love it. Wendy, you'll see a movie if it's sumptuous.
I will do that. But will I get like 3D sick? Sometimes I get sick at some of the 3D movies.
I have to take
my glasses off.
It's hard to say because of motion. You know, that's where you get the 3D sickness. You know, this film, I think animated's a little easier on the eyes for 3D.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, because again, you're right. It's created for that form.
Yeah.
Whereas live action, you can create it for that form, but it doesn't necessarily match up to that form.
Right.
Especially when you have a lot of motion.
Right.
So.
Right.
I'm getting like John Michael now.
Wendy also, I'm sorry, Patrick, you wanted to bring this up, and we should talk about this.
Okay.
It has little to do with movies, but it does have to do with entertainment.
All right.
And that is that Eve Plum is selling her house, and you said, can we please discuss this? So why
Jan.
Wouldn't we? Yeah, Jan Brady.
Jan Eve Plum as Jan?
She.
I sang that every time to the Brady Bunch theme. Eve Plum as Jan, and Ann B. Davis as Alice, although I did it better when I was younger. Every time.
Why did you add lyrics to
you
that?
Made lyrics up for the Brady Bunch.
Because I watched it every time, and I got bored
you
with hearing it.
You did that to X-Files, too, though.
Yes. The X-Files is a show with music by Mark Snow. But sometimes I can't stop myself.
No,
my brain's
no.
always
that's fine
moving.
That's you want that.
This is good. You're anticipating your future.
Eve Plum bought this house when she was 11 years old.
11
she
years
took her
old.
Brady Bunch money and
right.
purchased a house at 11.
Yeah,
wow.
She had some good advice apparently. Maybe some uncle or something.
Yeah,
$55,000 on the Malibu beach.
Oh my God!
You want to hear the price she sold it for?
Right, $55 million?
Well, wait. Before
no.
you say it,
okay.
if she was 11 years old,
right.
so this would have been 1974, 75,
yeah.
somewhere
yeah.
there.
When, early in the show's run, yeah.
All right, mm-hmm. so she bought the house for $55,000 and just turned it this week for
right.
how much?
$3.5 million.
That's a pretty she good
done
investment.
Good.
She's
yep.
a very good investment.
That was a good investment.
Eve Plum
yeah.
as
and she probably, when she was 18 or something, lived there for
right.
a good 10 years or so
oh,
on the
nice.
Beach.
Hochberg yelled at her for not reinvesting the money somehow and making it even more money. He's furious. Hochberg's furious with Jan Brady.
And the weird thing is, Marsha's actually going, Jan.
Right.
Jan.
Yes. I know.
Wow. Marie McCormick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yes,
appreciate you being
always.
There. Film critic Patrick McDonald is for HollywoodChicago.com and, of course, the chief guide over Chicago Film Tour. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy back for the second part of our Thursday show. We're at 312-981-7200. If you're so inclined, give us a call or even a text. We will accept both.
We will accept
yeah,
both.
Yeah, both will be accepted.
We're out of the studio tomorrow, too, at Bolingbrook Golf Club.
Correct.
It's part of our Hometown Voices tour from Allstate, and I can't wait to get out there.
Steve Bertrand has begged us and forced us to announce that he will be doing the business lunch, as always, from 12 to 1 o'clock. It's a live version of the business lunch.
Right, and he is getting kind of crossed over. That's not the right word.
He's not getting the
glossed
attention he
over.
Deserves.
Yeah.
He's not.
So it is the Bolingbrook Golf Club. Steve Bertrand will kick it off at noon, from noon to 1, with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Then we're there for...
What happened?
Kevin, I am going to kick you.
What's
I'm trying
wrong?
To help you, Wendy. I'm just trying to help you.
What's
he
wrong?
Said, I've got this scheduled for you to talk about later.
No, just so you can read it now. We
oh.
can get all the info
it's
there.
It's in my hand.
Oh, well, look at you being prepared.
We can mention it more than once. It's tomorrow.
No,
it's
just once.
One time
That's
only.
It.
Listen now and hear us later. Only one time will this be said.
Thank you, though, Kevin.
Maybe more later.
We're going to be inside the Nest Bar and Grill, where you can enjoy a burger lunch special.
Mm-hmm.
It's exclusive to listeners of our broadcast. And really, who doesn't love a burger?
You would think in
a
place vegetarian. Called The Nest, they would only serve eggs, but it's not that way at all. They're serving hamburgers, too.
Do you like eggs?
Not
I gotta
really.
Tell you, I love eggs.
Do you? Mm, not so much.
And we had Jimmy Banos in a while ago with his son, Jimmy Banos Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I said how I was trying to flip eggs in a skillet just, you know, with your hand without using a spatula.
Yeah.
He told me to practice on a piece of bread
and you get the movement down, I can now flip eggs without a spatula.
Is that true?
I practice time and time again with a piece of bread.
I wish the Gong Show were still on. That'd be the kind of thing I bet you could go on the Gong Show and win some money.
All right, fine, whatever. You can visit the events page at WGNradio.com for details. Leave a message that Bill's a poop. And then it's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate Chicago's Own Good Hands. That's tomorrow. Join us, please.
Please come out. This
Tell
will
Billy
not,
he's a poop.
Yeah, feel free to say that. This will not, according to Kevin's schedule, this will not be mentioned again. So
you better not.
This is your last chance to know this and act on it.
He knows what rebels we are. If he says don't do it, we
right,
will.
Right, we're going to do it again.
Better not.
We might.
Kevin! He scolds me every day for right. something.
Oh, and tomorrow we'll be in Bolingbrook for a live
oh,
broadcast.
Oh, Bill.
All right.
Now you're getting the scolding.
I don't care.
Oh,
what do I care?
We love it.
I don't care at all. You and I were discussing earlier in the show something of a mystery. It's this Ryan Lochte story in Rio where he may or may not have been held at gunpoint. Right now, it's looking like it's just a fabricated story, that never happened.
Allegedly, he was approached by a security guard after bashing in a door of a gas station bathroom.
Correct.
And the security guard did have a gun,
yeah,
but he didn't draw it.
Right, right.
So that's not being held at gunpoint.
That's not being
having,
held.
That's being talked to by a guy with a gun that should have a gun.
Right. And
big difference.
That's a huge difference. Everything about the first version of the story that came out yesterday turns out to be, if not 100% false, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100% false. I don't remember the other swimmers. Three other U.S. Olympians, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you who they are.
Actually, I remember one.
Talk to me.
Jimmy Feagan. Am I right?
Yeah, I think.
Jimmy Feagan.
I think so. And then there
Do you know why I remember that?
No.
Because that sounds like the name. Like, if you saw any gangster movies in the 40s, there'd always be a guy named Jimmy Feagan.
There's always an Irishman hanging with the Italian right. men, right?
Oh, you wanted Jimmy Feagan's boys? I don't want trouble from Jimmy Feagan. Like, the last thing I want to do is ruffle the feathers of one Jimmy Feagan.
Right.
Everybody would use
I
that
love
name.
Bugs Moran. There's yeah. always an Irish guy hanging with the Italians.
Yeah, and that guy's name is almost always Jimmy Feagan.
Two Olympic swimmers were taken off their flight from Brazil to the U.S. yesterday by local authorities amid this investigation into a reported robbery targeting Ryan Lochte and his teammates. So this is the worst part about it. Ryan Lochte goes back to the U.S. And he's safe and sound.
You boys wait here. I'll make sure the coast is clear in the U.S. of A. Jimmy Feagan, keep them where they need to be. All right, boys.
So now Jimmy Feagan was not one of the two that were taken off a plane. That was Jack Conger and Gunnar Bentz.
Yeah.
They left the Rio de Janeiro airport for an unspecified location in Brazil. They have not yet testified, according to lawyer Sergio Viegas. The swimmers did not speak to reporters upon leaving the airport and getting shuttled away in a black car waiting outside. So, excuse me, is there a Jack Conger and a Gunnar Bentz on this flight? Please come forward. So you know they are freaking out when they heard their names.
Now, does everybody on the plane do what we used to do in grade school whenever somebody would come and they'd say, we need to see Wendy Snyder, then everybody would go, busted.
Yeah.
Do they all do that on the plane?
And some classmates would give you, like, they'd slap your hand as you were walking
by.
Like,
you got
way
in
to
trouble.
Go.
Yeah. I like that.
It was fun getting in trouble. I'm sorry, because trouble was really nothing back then.
Right.
It was, you know, folding up a note into a triangle and kicking it like you're kicking a field goal with your finger.
Putting chalk in the erasers so that when somebody was using an eraser on the blackboard, it would make a chalky line on the blackboard.
Can I tell you, if someone fell for that after the first week of school, they deserve to have it happen.
Agreed.
Because every teacher in the world probably looks that.
Right.
They have dry erase boards.
Who's behind
now.
This? Is this Jimmy Feagan's work? Oh, that Jimmy Feagan, he'll be the death of us.
All right, some thoughts on the swimmer from Charlie.
Hey, Wendy, how are you? Hi, Bill.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, you guys crack me up, but a couple of points I want to say.
Sure.
The first thing is, if they damaged that door for the gas station and they paid for it, how stupid are they to make the story get bigger?
Right.
You paid for it, walk away. That's the second. The second thing is, he wanted to get the hell out of Dodge because he knew he was going to get in trouble.
Absolutely.
Usually these guys travel together back and forth to the U.S. and to the Olympics, but he was on the first plane because he knew he was in trouble.
I think because they're swimmers, they have to travel in relay style. So Ryan Lochte comes to the United States, goes back, tags a guy, then he swims back.
Where's Jimmy Fegan fit into
all this? Jimmy Fegan always finishes off, Wendy. Jimmy Fegan.
And so is Jimmy Fegan's fault.
Now, Charlie, you have to think. Wait, hang on. I think this is what you got to think of. They damaged the door. There was a security guard that was aware of it. And maybe Ryan Lochte didn't pay him enough, and they were going to call the authorities, so he had to make up something.
Yeah, but they didn't lock him up on location. I mean, the story assumably happened after they got back to their camp.
Right.
Which means they walked away from the gas station somehow with some agreement.
That's true, because police were called, and they couldn't find him because the swimmers already split.
Exactly. So, it's just such a stupid story to make up. Like Bill said, you know, you want to make up a story, you better be the only person involved in it. Otherwise, when you have 3-4 people, everybody's got a different story.
Charlie, can I tell you, there's a line from a movie, and I can't for the life of me remember what movie I heard this in, but I heard this years ago. In the movie, they say there's no such thing as a secret between 3 people. And I think about that all the time. It's like 2 people, you can kind of get away with something. But once there's a 3rd person or more than 3 people involved, you really can't have a secret between 3 or more people. It's impossible.
Well, you know what, Bill? I think it's more than you can't have a secret between 2 people. It's always 1 person, because if there is any other person that knows, then it's not a secret.
True.
Good point.
That's where the problem is.
Boy, you're a philosopher, aren't you, Charlie?
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. You too.
Well.
Thank you.
Todd wants to jump in on this. Todd, you're thinking this is a little blown out of proportion?
Yeah. I mean, unless Ryan Lochte and their group filed some sort of, I would think, a police report, who would they really lie to, except that maybe he lied to his mom? Maybe he needed more money to pay the guy where he broke the door. I don't know.
And she is in Rio de Janeiro.
She is.
Yes,
Mrs. Lochte
she was
is?
Not. He's staying at a different place where the athletes stay.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Maybe he had to have mom bail him out.
But here's why it is a big deal, because Rio is afraid of repercussions from tourism. Like if they're hearing stories, or we're all hearing stories, saying an Olympic athlete was held at gunpoint in Rio, then people are thinking, and then you already know the other problems with Zika virus and mosquitoes and stuff. So this is bad for them as a nation, their tourism. That would take a hit.
Right,
so,
but I mean, what are they supposed to, I mean, if they extra and they come out and say, yeah, it was all, I mean, what are they, I mean, he didn't talk to anybody where it's like I said, lying in a police report or something. It's, what are they going to take him in the back, like Roy says, tune him up?
I just think it looks, it's like you're slandering their country, and I could see where they would take it pretty seriously. He's a pretty high-profile athlete. For him to say, boy, you know, even though I was competing in the games over there, the streets are unsafe. I was held at gunpoint. That, it looks terrible to them, for them.
I think it looks worse what they're doing to these athletes.
Well, now it does.
Well, they said, now I could have misheard this, but I thought it was a felony to report a crime
that
didn't take place. Yeah.
Who did they report him to? That's the thing. I mean, he's talking to his mom and then he's interviewing. It's not like reporting to the press is illegal. I mean,
so did it become a story because his mom leaked it? Is that
because
how?
He probably, see, Todd, you have it all figured out. He needed more money from mom. And then she's like, what do you need more money for? Hookers? No, mom. These people held us up at gunpoint. Yeah. I need the, you know. No, I'm out all this money.
Oh.
That's interesting.
You got it, Wendy.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
See, every boy needs his mom.
It's Ma Lochte who's really created the problem here. I mean, it's bad to lie. Don't get me wrong. That was the catalyst for all this. But it was her kind of spreading the word of this.
Yeah, but
although if it was your kid,
I would do the same thing.
You'd do the same, yeah.
I would call the police. Yeah. I would say, first of all, maybe you shouldn't believe your kid.
Well, I'm surprised she can even understand her kid. I can't understand him.
What? She talks like that, too.
Oh, does she talk like that?
I don't know.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. More on this and plenty of other topics. It's 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join in. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Do you want to know a secret?
Do you promise not to tell? Closer, Jimmy Fegan.
Yeah, Jimmy Fegan's behind this, I tell you. Jimmy Fegan will take care of things. Jimmy Fegan to the rescue.
We were talking about the secret that Ryan Lochte shared with his friends, and someone has texted us, Bill, 3 can keep a secret. if two of them are dead. Mm. That's a famous quote from Benjamin Franklin, and it's perfect.
Pretty dark for Benjamin Franklin. This guy invented electricity and had a yarn store, and then he was saying stuff like this?
It was from Benjamin Franklin, Vampire Slayer.
I can't remember the movie I saw. I want to say it's the movie A Simple Plan, which is a great movie, where they say there's no such thing as a secret between three people. And I had never heard that. I wasn't around during Benjamin Franklin's days, obviously. But the more I think about it, you go, yeah, you could almost, like, one guy could certainly keep a secret for his life if he wanted to. Two, it gets a little iffy, but by the time it gets to three.
Well, you know what it is. It's like if you and a buddy are lying, there are two separate stories, but then you throw a third person in the mix, and it deviates from one of those two sides.
Right.
So that's odd man out. You can't hang out with three
people.
That's
true.
It's got to be even Steven. Hey, Mike, what do you think about these swimmers?
I think tough luck for them.
Tough luck for them.
What we have is a story of big-shot, big-time athletes who were acting like big-shot, big-time athletes. They were doing anything they want to get their way, and the first time in their life they haven't been coddled and fawned over. First time in their life they don't have people telling them how fabulous they are and how wonderful they are, and now they're in trouble. It shows also how stupid big time athletes are.
Yes.
Well, not all of them.
They don't have brains enough to go find an alley. When they find a locked bathroom,
it's a lot of water in the ears over the years.
For an alley. I say tough luck for them.
Tough
if they
luck.
Get put in jail for 100 years. I don't care.
How about
they've
that?
They committed probably one way or another. They committed felony crimes.
Yep.
If nothing else, breaking over the bathroom door.
Yep.
So tough luck.
All right.
Dad. Oh, you wonderful little athletes. Don't worry about it. We'll sweep it under the rug for you and take care of everything. They're out at night, at midnight. They were probably looking for some good stuff, and maybe they got it. And now they're on their way home. They got to go to the bathroom, and they ain't got brains enough to go in an alley like any normal human being.
Tough luck.
Tough luck.
Tough luck, says Mike.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course,
absolutely.
Mike. Thank
you. Sure you finished?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. That was awesome.
I think he was speaking his mind there for us.
It actually was like 6 in the morning on Sunday. So
wasn't it?
They might have been going to church. We don't know.
No, they were coming from a party. You don't go right to church from a party.
No,
you have to have a buffer.
They're saying it was like a hospitality suite somewhere. Is that what they're saying now?
Well, now, according to TMZ Sports, which I didn't know.
TMZ Sports Department.
They had a sports department.
Wow.
But they're saying that they
Jordan
busted
Burnfield
up.
Jordan Burnfield heads that up, I believe. Our ex-colleague Jordan Burnfield.
Sources connected to James Fegan, good old Jimmy Fegan.
Yep.
Tell TMZ the real deal is the four swimmers, including Jack Conger and Gunnar Bentz, and of course Ryan Lochte, were on their way home from a party early Sunday morning. They stopped to use the restroom. They were told one or more of the guys was relieving himself outside the bathroom, and they also kicked in the bathroom door. That's when the gas station's armed security guard rolled up, pulled his gun, and demanded they pay for the damage.
Do gas stations have armed security guards?
This must be a very special gas station.
I don't know that I've ever been in a gas station that's had an armed security guard.
TMZ Sports. That just makes me laugh.
Come on, that's legit.
They were told that the armed security guard did take the money from the swimmers, but only to cover the expenses, and then he let him go.
Then
so,
it should be the transaction's complete. It should be.
Now, the gas station manager, according to TMZ Sports, tells a different story, claiming the guard never pulled the gun, and the manager merely asked them to pay, which they did.
So then Ryan Lochte says to his mom, what a night last night. Listen to this. We're just out being good citizens, helping orphans, the things we like to do.
At 6 in the morning
at
after a party.
At 6 in the morning. And then a guy with a gun, he's pointing a gun in our faces, and he takes our wallets. Based on what really happened, that's the way he transcribes it to his mom.
Evidently, and then she started singing like a canary to a news station, and that's what happened. Now, they could face prosecution for lying to Rio cops, because I believe that is a felony to file a false police report. Mm-hmm. And there's a news conference scheduled for later this afternoon, as far as I know.
That's what it's looking it's like, yeah.
Yeah, they said at some point today, so.
I don't think they're going to throw anyone in jail for.
No, filing. I don't either. I
no.
But this, you know, makes the U.S. look so bad. It makes our athletes look bad.
Yeah, but if you're a cop in Brazil, you'll take that trade because, you
right.
know, Brazil and Rio have been taking so many hits about
yeah,
being ready
right.
and the crime and, you know.
Yeah.
They want to clear that up.
So two of our finest athletes have accused the teams that have beaten them of being kind of cheaters.
Whatever. And cowards.
Cowards was Hope Solo's word. And then you have the Ryan Lochte story. So we're leading in gold medals and in whining so far. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I have a feeling I'm going to love this next interview.
You are.
There's a 10-year-old who has a lot of chutzpah. I don't really know what that means. It's a Yiddish word.
Yeah, it's a combination of luck and charm and all good things going their
She's
way.
Got it going on. Her name is Addison Osta Smith. So nice to meet you, Addison.
Nice to meet you guys, too.
She's got a scruffy voice. She's got a good sense of humor. She's quick on her feet.
You're not smoking, are you? That's not what the scruffy
no,
voice goes.
No, definitely
Stay away
not.
From the cigarettes. Stay away.
All right, now you are the recent winner of MasterChef Junior Season 4.
Yes.
Quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it was so fun.
When did you start cooking? You're only 10, so were you like a one-year-old cooker?
Well, chef, but yes.
Oh, excuse me.
Are you a chef, aren't you?
I am a chef.
You are.
I started cooking when I was about 3 or 4, but I was always in the kitchen with my parents, so
mm-hmm.
you could call me a baby chef.
Did you have
was.
Like one of those?
And now I'm.
You know, you've seen these little Tykes kitchens, you know, it's like a whole kitchen, but geared toward a 2 or 3-year-old.
The plastic ones, Bill?
Yeah, so I think that there should be like, MasterChef actually created like a kids playset, but it's like for, like it's real. Like
yeah.
it's actual.
You can make stuff with it.
You can actually make stuff with it. So
Not
I
just
think
the plastic
really cool.
potatoes and the pear that
no,
you put.
No, it's like real. Like you
it's
can
functional.
Actually like use knives and stuff. And
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I don't see little kids and knives together being a problem at all.
No, not at
what,
all, right?
What could go wrong?
If you learn how to use them.
Right, true.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you learn how to use them correctly, then it's totally fine.
So how is it as a very, very young girl, you said to yourself, this is something I want in on. I want to cook too. How did that happen?
Well, I've been in the kitchen, as I said, since I was much younger. And
yeah, dummy.
I'm amazed by it. I didn't know we had a kitchen until about 3 weeks ago in my house. I went into a room, and I'm like, what's all the electronics in here? It's called the kitchen, I learned.
Oh, okay. That's just fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, Addison.
You kill me. I'm sorry. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. So you liked to cook. When you were younger, you were in the kitchen all the time, as
yeah.
you mentioned. And what was the first thing you ever, ever, ever made?
Oh, well, like by myself, like solo?
Yeah.
Eggs. I was so proud of myself. I made cheesy eggs.
Oh.
So that was just,
Was
yeah.
there Velveeta on your eggs by any chance?
No, I had not discovered eggs, Velveeta yet.
Look yeah. at her. She's a machine.
Yeah. And then once you made this, did you say to your family, hey, I made this. I think you'll enjoy it. You shared it with everybody, didn't you?
No, yes. I cut it up into little pieces, and I
yeah.
was like, everyone's going to eat this,
Excellent.
No matter if you want it or not. Like,
yeah.
you're eating it.
Were you watching, because when Wendy and I grew up in the 1930s, there was only one
He's
or
lying.
Maybe two shows on TV that had cooks. There was Julia Child was a woman who had a cook, and then the Galloping Gourmet, because he and his horse would cook together. But now... There's a whole bunch of shows like that. Did you? Are we a fan of those?
Yes, I love all kinds of like Food Network and Fox, and I love all that
yeah.
cooking shows.
All right,
I'm obsessed.
So you said you were little and you would use a real little Tykes kitchen that actually made food where you could use, I believe your quote was, knives and stuff.
Yeah, knives and stuff.
Being a chef, which you are, you have to chop veggies and do things, and you're supposed to do it the proper way where it's the blade is always stays down
yeah.
and then the shaft of the knife goes down. Can you do
yeah.
it that quickly?
Yeah, I love to chop because I think it's really fun because I love to cook in general, so I love chopping because I get to, like, I like to go really fast. Like, I didn't learn how to do it until, like, I knew how to chop, but I didn't learn how to do it until, like, 3 years ago, and then I really just started, like,
You can do it that fast?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
With no injuries. You've never cut yourself from chopping?
Oh, not
Hold
from,
up your hands. Let's
let
count
see.
The fingers.
Yeah.
Not from chopping, but I did cut the tip of my finger off with a blender.
You did?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to put your hand in there when it's
no,
on.
I know. I was cleaning it and it was like an immersion blender, so it was like on a stick, and so like on the end, and I was cleaning it with gloves on, and so then I just like my hand slipped and turned it on, and I didn't unplug it. Quick tip, always unplug it before you clean
That's
it.
That's a good tip. Which finger? Show us which finger.
My index finger.
Oh, no. It's grown back, though.
No, they had to sew it back on.
Did they really?
Yes. My bone is still chipped.
Oh, my God.
She cracks me up. Yep. I'm sorry. All right. Well, you have now been enlisted as executive mini chef by Velveeta. They have a new miniest, meltiest product. I'll tell you right now, if you looked in my refrigerator, and I know you don't need to keep it in the refrigerator, I have the smaller cube of Velveeta because when I'm making homemade mac and cheese, sometimes I throw it in there because it just really makes it creamier.
Yeah.
So what is this is a new thing from Velveeta?
Yes, so it's the new Velveeta mini blocks, and instead of like the big, I think it's 20-ounce block, it's little 4-ounce boxes that are individually wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's perfect for me making mac and cheeses.
And yeah, you can just throw them into like all your dishes, or you can just chop them up really fast. And you know,
and they
really...
also they make good gifts. You could just give one if it's Mother's Day.
Give Bill one.
I'll take
before
it.
You
I
leave.
I would love one as a gift.
Happy birthday.
See what I
Father's
mean?
Day. I
Look
don't
at
know.
How nice that just, is. It's gift size. Addison, that's so nice of you. Thank you.
Sure, it's definitely gift size.
Very nice.
So there's an advantage to this. You don't have to because they also make like the Velveeta. It's not liquid, but it's also like in a little pouch. I have love for Velveeta going way back.
Sure.
Yeah. But this makes it more convenient. You don't have to buy a big loaf and then wrap it in aluminum foil. These are individually wrapped for making anything you want. And what is your specialty with this?
It is, well, I have three dishes that I've created, and it includes cheesy potato waffles, which I'm like doing today, which I will show you guys today, and cheesy pulled pork taquitos. And might just both looked at each
that
other.
That looks
like it was so good. Yeah. We couldn't believe
we thought
it.
We dreamt
and,
it. We didn't think it's real, but it's real.
Bacon. Cheesy bacon risotto.
Oh, man.
We just ate lunch, and I'm already salivating again. It sounds so good.
Let's say a radio show wanted to hire you to be their personal cook to come in every day and make them lunch. Would you be open to it? I know you're thinking, I got to go to school. School's for squares. You don't need school.
I do need school.
You do? All right.
Stay in school, kids.
All right.
What grade are you going into? Because has school already started or next week?
No, I have 4 precious days left.
What grade are you going into?
I'm going into 6th grade.
Has she always been like this, Dad?
Yeah,
she
always,
is so precocious and adorable. I love her.
Yep, yep.
Her name is Addison Osta Smith. She's 10 years old, Chicago suburban person. Recent winner of MasterChef Junior Season 4. And we're going to talk about your recipes when we come back. I hope you can stay around.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, more after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we have what a texter has referred to, a 10-year-old going on a 30-year-old.
Oh.
Addison Osta Smith is in the studio with us, and she is the recent winner of MasterChef Junior Season 4, and then she has been enlisted as executive mini chef by Velveeta for their launch of their miniest, meltiest product called Mini Blocks. Bill, a listener has texted us and said they should be called Fun Size Velveeta.
Fun Size Velveeta is not a bad name.
Well, it is fun and is small size.
Right.
But I think the mini blocks like works with like the mini chef.
Oh, yeah.
So I like the idea.
All right. All right.
All right. And you were supposed to be demoing your own recipe, but we are having difficulty plugging in a waffle iron, which I never use because it is so hard to clean, isn't it?
Well, actually, if you like spray it with like...
Pam.
Like cooking spray. Yeah.
Yep.
Any cooking spray. Then, like, if you spray...
Sorry for yelling Pam, but my friend Pam was outside, so I was just getting her attention. Pam!
Oh. Addison, he's lying. Any kind of vegetable
spray.
Is her
last name cooking spray?
She can keep up with you, Bill. I'm telling you.
I know she can.
In fact, I'm worried. I'm never going to take a sick day again because she could take my place and no one would even notice. you can spray it with vegetable spray, and then you don't really ever have to wash it with soap. You just kind of leave it
that? You do have to wash it with soap.
See, I don't like to do that.
Mm.
Well, you could, you know what? Actually, no, do not put it in the dishwasher.
Right.
That was a bad idea. Don't do that.
The electric cord and stuff. But so now here's my question to you. Tell us the name of your recipe.
It is the cheesy potato waffles.
Can I just say something? At first thought, I'm thinking, yeah, a waffle with cheese and potatoes isn't going to work. But the waffles are not made out of your Bisquicky-type batter, right?
No, it's homemade. So it's just like baking soda, salt, flour, chives, Velveeta cheese, also potatoes, milk, butter, eggs. Yeah, it's just very
simple.
But
it doesn't taste like your typical waffle. It tastes potato-y.
No, it's not sweet.
It looks like something, Addison, that you would get in a restaurant, although somebody dropped grass on mine.
Those are chives.
Oh, chives. Jeez, then forget it. Bill. It looks so good, though.
What do you expect from me?
I expect nothing but the best from you. So it's okay. We can take a bite.
Go ahead.
All right.
This is honestly awesome.
Really?
It really is good.
Awesome.
Ah, light, fluffy, delicious.
And potato-y. I mean, you look at it, you're expecting to have a sweet waffle. It is so not.
Mm.
It's very much tasting along the lines of a pierogi, kind of.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
This is outstanding.
All right, you've outdone yourself.
Yeah.
And you came up with this recipe entirely on your own.
Well, me, my sister, and my dad. But, but you know... I got it.
I bet you probably contributed a little bit more than your sister and your dad, probably, right?
Probably.
Just a little bit more?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you have some other recipes and you want to tell us your Instagram and your Facebook pages? Do you share these recipes?
I will share these recipes shortly, and I share all sorts of my photos and videos of my daily life and my cooking life. If you have Instagram, you can go follow me at Junior Chef Addison, like the word junior spelled out, and on my Facebook, it's Addison Osta Smith, and on my Twitter, it's JR Junior Chef Addison.
Which do you like better of the social media?
I like Instagram, which is Junior Chef Addison. I don't know, I think it's more fun because I get to see other people's posts and I can scroll through them faster when I'm just on like a car ride.
Sure.
Do your parents make you cook for them every night?
No, because I play lots of sports and I am doing acting also. I want to act on Broadway and do a bunch of stuff. So
you will. You will. Just looking at you and meeting you, don't you think she's going to go places?
Oh, without a doubt. So far, you're just a chef and an actress and an athlete so far, but there's time, you know, you can develop some interest.
Definitely, and a scientist.
Wow. Are the boys just lining up at school? I would imagine the guys are just nuts for you. Is that going on?
Kick him to the curb.
Yeah? All right.
I bet they're scared of her.
There might be some intimidation.
No, yeah, maybe. A little bit. I don't know. I don't really like them.
You don't like them at
this
point?
She's not in the boy phase. She's only 10.
You don't have time. Even if you love them, where's the time?
Yeah, I like my girlfriends better.
Yeah, that's better for you.
Dad is. I've never seen Dad smile so big as when she says that.
Yes, absolutely. What is the mistake, do you think, that most people that want to get into this world, the world of cooking, what's the biggest mistake, the most common mistake that people make, do you think?
I think that it's that they imagine that, like, it's going to be so hard and you're going to have to, like, be pressure all the time. And, like, when they end up doing, like, live things or on TV and stuff, they get so pressured and, like, caught up in, like, they should just calm down and just do what they love. If they really are cooks and are going to be in the business and are going to do it, then you got to know that you can do it.
Sure.
And not be super caught up. And, I mean, yes, it's a little bit pressure, a little bit of pressure.
Well, you have to follow. It's like a puzzle. You follow the different steps of the I love to cook. I'm never going to be a chef. I'm just
a cooker.
You don't
know that. You don't know that.
I'm too old.
A cooker.
That's what my kids say, jokingly. I know. It's a joke. It's like, okay, oh, you're a good cooker. Okay. I know the word chef.
No, I know, but, like, if you're a cooker...
See why I like her?
Then can't it just, like, move on to be chef? Like,
I don't have it in me. But it's fun to cook, and that relaxes me.
Yeah.
You know, on a Sunday afternoon, it's not, and, you know, when you get older, you can have a nice glass of wine when you're cooking.
Taking a look at your commute.
Thank you, Jill.
Here's what's great about you is I asked you a very in-depth question, and you gave me an even more in-depth answer. My question again was, what's the biggest mistake? And you said, well, you got to be yourself. And my answer was just going to be like, too much salt. I thought that's what you were going to go with.
Oh, No, oh, you mean the cooking? I mean,
well, on that end of it, though, isn't that a common thing? Is sometimes people will overspice a food, and usually
or
with salt.
Actually, it's sometimes also under. So sometimes people get scared, like they're like, "I'm gonna add a tiny little grain of salt, and I think it's gonna be too much."
Yeah,
and it's actually you should. That's why always when I'm cooking, I taste.
Do
and
you?
Also, I love to taste because. Yeah. I love to eat, so it's like, yeah. It pairs well.
Do you use a fresh spoon every time? Be honest.
Uh-oh. A new finger.
Uh-oh. Here's your waffles back. I'm done.
All right, somebody has texted. They want to know what you think of the cafeteria food at school, and do you complain about it and tell them what they should be doing?
Well, I do not have cafeteria at my school, but I do have... Friday fun lunch, and it's from different kinds of restaurants, and I did come home and critique it a couple times, and so I like to bring my own lunches because yeah. Then I can like eat.
Make your own.
Yes. Well, yeah. My mom, you know.
Why aren't you making your own lunches?
Okay, I probably will this year. I probably will have to, but just because I like to sleep. So when I'm sleeping, the whole waking up part is like not the greatest.
Yep.
God, she is like me, Junior. Can I just tell you that? Although much more talented. But you remind me of myself. And in fact, somebody have said both Bill and Wendy should be worried about their jobs signing this kid up.
We are. Because you know what? I guess I can share this. During the break, you said, I want to do this now. I want to have a radio show. Sure.
We're in big trouble.
We're
tough.
No,
I hope the bosses aren't listening.
Instead of wiping you out, we could like do it together.
All right.
The Bill, Wendy, and Addison show.
All right.
I just adore you. Can I tell you that? And you know, I have an idea for you, and I just want a little thanks in the credits.
Okay.
You're a kid who's going to be making your own lunches someday when you get up earlier. Why don't you put a cookbook out for kids to make their own lunches? Parents would love you.
That's a good idea.
Kids would have fun making their own lunches, and you can teach something. Just thank me in the credit, Wendy Snyder, SNYDER.
Sounds good. Yes, I think, like, the whole... like kind of like the sandwiches, which are kind of basic, but then like turned into like shapes. I think like that is for like a couple years younger than me, and now like becoming a little older, like those lunches aren't as like cool and like
right,
fun.
Like a wrap maybe or something.
Yeah, like something that's like trendy.
Yeah.
That's like you know people are gonna
we
like.
We get air quotes by the way.
I know there was
not in studio. We did get air quotes.
Yes. Because,
do
I don't
a book.
Know.
We're serious, Addison. A book would
okay,
be a great
I'll do
thing.
It. I'll do it.
And you can take the proceeds and put them to pushing boys to the curb or whatever you said.
Oh, that sounds
all right,
great.
Good.
You know, I have two boys and I always wanted a daughter. Can you be my honorary daughter?
Sounds good.
I love her. I love her so much.
When
do
I sign?
We're so happy for you. I mean, this is a well-deserved title you just got, Master Chef Junior. That's a big accomplishment for you, Addison. It really is.
We'll put links to all your social media on our Facebook page.
All
Addison
right?
Osta Smith. Osta is OSTA, correct?
Yes, and then Smith is...
the traditional spelling with an I?
No, it's with a couple Z's. Just kidding. It's traditional.
She got me. She got you.
I know.
You can also go to Velveeta.com to find out about the Velveeta mini blocks. Is your recipe for cheesy potato waffles posted there?
Yes, it will be at Velveeta.com.
Look at you. So nice to meet you, Addison Osta Smith.
Nice to meet you, too.
I'm having more waffle, Wendy.
He's eating.
I'm enjoying a waffle right now.
End the show first. Come on. Finish strong.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Addison Osta Smith is here because I think she is going to take over our job shortly.
Any minute.
I know.
We're probably meeting upstairs right now.
Actually, we wanted to talk to you, Addison. Not only are you the recent winner on season 4 of MasterChef Junior, and you're also the executive mini chef for Velveeta for their new Velveeta mini blocks, but you have done something to help other people, and we failed to mention that. So why don't you tell us about Housing Forward?
Well, I lived in Oakland, California for 8 years, and it was just, there's homelessness anywhere you go, but it wasn't as intense as when I moved to Chicago, and it started getting cold, and I would start bringing blankets, because it would just be just so terrible to me that there were people you know, dying in the weather. So I decided to find my local, you know, homeless shelter, and it was originally called PADS, but they had a gala, and I bought a table there, and I love doing donations and working with them, and it's called Housing Forward now, and it's, they're trying to end homelessness in many different ways. They have emergency aid, housing support, shelter, employment support, and all, you know, sorts of things that help end homelessness. And if you want to donate or see what they're all about, go to housingforward.org. And it's just a great place. I love working with them because I love seeing people get the help that they need.
You're not just talking the game. You did something about this. You took some of your winnings when you won MasterChef Junior, and you made a very nice donation to them, didn't you?
Yes. They had the gala, and there were tables there that you could buy. And it was and I could invite some of my friends and family, and we went to the gala, and it was all sorts of, like, food, and it was pretty fun, but also really even more fun to know that this was helping people in need. So.
Sure.
You know, when you're hungry, you get cranky. What do they call it now? Hangry?
Hangry, yeah.
Hungry and angry at the same time.
You can't even imagine someone going to bed without a meal in their stomach or the cold weather, you're right, without a blanket or a bed to lay in.
Yes, it's terrible. I mean, it's just so great, though, that there's these places that are now opening up, like shelters, and I think it's just awesome that there's also now famous people who are reaching out in Chicago, like Chance the Rapper and different people like that. I think it's just so cool that everyone is doing that.
How do you at 10 years old think like an adult like this, where, I mean, you see it around you, but at 10, a lot of kids aren't thinking, what can I do to help? They're just going, oh, that's really sad, really tragic. I wish them well.
Yeah, like a lot of my friends, not a lot of my friends, like some of the kids I go to school with, I should say, are afraid of homeless people, or like in that kind of sense. Like
a lot of people are.
They just are kind of ignorant to it. And I don't think that that's logical, because they're just people that don't have what they need. So I think, yeah.
She is just, I want to nominate you for the Nobel Peace Prize.
You can win the Frank Beard Award and the Nobel Peace Prize in the same year. That has never been done.
The Nobel Beard.
The Nobel Beard Prize.
All right, so it's housingforward.org. I'm on the website right now. And Housing Individuals saves the community a minimum of $10,000 per person. Providing 191 people with service-supported housing in 2015 saved the taxpayers in our service area more than $1.9 million. This is an amazing thing you're doing. It's housingforward.org. She's Addison Osta Smith, and does not think like a typical 10-year-old.
No. One other question that I wanted to ask you in the earlier segment, we didn't have time, and we only have a minute here, but I need to ask anyway. Whenever I watch any of the cooking shows, the chef shows on television, whoever the chef is has a very short fuse. He gets very mad, very angry,
Gordon Ramsay, very fast.
I wasn't going to say Gordon Ramsay, but Gordon Ramsay. But there's other guys and girls who do it too. If everything isn't just right, they just start yelling and screaming at people. What is it about being a chef that makes you just so ornery?
So in the kitchen, when you have to work with other people, and just in general when you're doing different things, you have a vision, and like that's the whole thing that's in cooking. It's really cool because what you create in your head is like what you can, you know, execute because you're doing it. Mm-hmm. But when there's so many things that need to get done, you need to get some help, and or you're having people do things like for you. So it gets really stressful when you have to try to show what you need them to do, and it's hard because sometimes it doesn't come out exactly correct, and then it's like you're on the line, which is, you know, so it's, you have to just make sure that you're being just thoughtful in the way that you kind of have to explain everything that you're doing before you.
You would never yell if you had somebody preparing food with you, you would never turn and scream and yell at that person, would you ever?
I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
This is preparing you for being a wife someday, by the way. I have to tell you, because it's like, you know, you're familiar with your family, and sometimes you're not as nice to them as maybe you should be.
True.
And it's just easier to do it yourself than to delegate a task.
Yes.
Too many cooks spoil the broth. Right? That's a saying.
Bill just speaks in colloquialisms.
I just use colloquialisms to express my feelings, but I think I'm right that time. Sometimes it's better to and if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
What, you got one more for us?
Look before you leap.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to, maybe we should make him a chart so we can understand what he's saying. His quotes chart, so we know what he's really feeling.
I can just go home now.
No, you're fine.
You would say, boy, the Bill and Wendy show is sounding really great. Why? Because Addison has taken her place.
Right.
Can I just leave early? You want to finish this up with Bill for the rest
of
the day?
Okay, I'm down, so let's go. Okay, just kidding.
Wow.
Bill's scared.
Wow.
Really, okay, so Addison Osta Smith, so nice to meet you. Go check her out on social media. You can just Google Addison Osta Smith, and I'm sure all of your profiles will come up.
Yes, and also on Instagram, too. You have to download the app or go on Safari or Hulu or whatever you go on. That works.
And housingforward.org. Check it out because it's a great, noble thing that a 10-year-old is doing. Addison Osta Smith, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Back after this is Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Is she going to leave finally?
I think so, yeah. So we're both bowled over a little bit by our last guest, who has so much charisma and charm at the age of 10 that it made us both sick to our stomachs.
I can't go on.
No, there's no reason to continue after that. And I said to you, there's somebody very specific that she reminded me of, and now I'm hearing you as well.
Exactly.
And that would be vintage Jodie Foster. Like Napoleon and Samantha type years, right?
Yeah, but also a little Tatum O'Neill and Bad News Bears.
I got that too.
Kind of a combo of the two.
Yeah, yeah. Rough and tumble tomboy, smarter than anyone else in the room.
Yeah, I know. Why are we still here?
I'm not sure.
She's outside the Allstate Showcase studio taking pictures, and you know we should be out there.
Yeah.
With a sign that says, you know, help us.
Looking for work. Yep. Absolutely.
I think we
just
interviewed our replacement.
Yep, probably.
And we've got like 20 texts. She's awesome, more intelligent than I was at 10. She's more intelligent than I am at plus 10.
Older than 10, yeah.
She should be cloned, have all kids turn out like her. Is it okay to nominate this guest for president?
Oh, how about that? Well, you still need to be 35, but other than that, yes.
Yeah, another too bad Addison can't run for president. Hmm. Can you have Addison in Weekly? Love her. What about us?
I don't know. Old news.
Man. I think you guys are pretty good.
Thanks, Kevin.
You loved her, too.
She was awesome. She was very funny.
But think about yourself at 10. There'd be some trepidation. There'd be some fear of being on the radio. You know, if you're on our show, you got a dozen, 15 people listening, and you'd be a little nervous, but she didn't have any, there were no nerves at all, zero. She
wasn't
even a little
nothing.
Bit afraid. That's amazing.
I'm hanging up my head.
Don't say that.
Yeah, Steve Bertrand needs to jump in with something.
We've been following, obviously, the situation with the Olympic swimmers in Brazil. Police in Brazil and Rio have just had a news conference. I've been watching, in fact, the video, the security video at the gas station there. So we expect to get all of this perhaps cleared up in one way or another today. This is the story of the four Olympic swimmers who had said that they were robbed at gunpoint. Ryan Lochte saying that the robber had put a gun to his forehead and cocked it. Police now are saying that there was no robbery early Sunday morning in Rio de Janeiro. This at a gas station that is very brightly lit. Looks very much like a gas station you'd see around the corner here. Anyway, the police have been talking to reporters about all of this over the past several minutes. And as I said, we're looking towards some sort of resolution today. Let's get at least, if we don't have the final word, we can get one of the final words in this live special report coming up from ABC News. Except we don't have it.
Yeah, and I know, and you planned it perfectly because it was supposed to happen at 2:23.
Steve, can I ask you, Wendy and I were debating this earlier, and maybe you have a more definitive answer. Does it look like they'll force him to go back to Rio?
I don't think so. I don't know what the point of it would be. I think the point of it is for Rio to you know,
clear
save face, right, and for the Olympic swimmers to admit that they did wrong. And as long as something like that happens, I think that everything would be fine. But I apologize for that. I don't know what exactly happened here with this board. But
if it is a felony, they would take this certainly very, very seriously there in Rio. It's bad for tourism to say that a star athlete is there and his life was in danger with a gun to his head.
Yeah, but as long as it's better for tourism to say, hey, we made up a terrible story about a wonderful city.
Oh, all right.
You know, I don't know what the benefit
of bringing him back is.
I mean, that damage maybe has been done.
Right.
If you continue to run it through everything, I don't think that would. I don't know. I could be wrong. We'll have to see what they have to say.
And the swimmers who are still there in Rio, they're not being held anywhere, are they, as far as we know? I don't know if they're being held against their will.
Well, they're being told they shouldn't leave the country until this investigation is complete.
Up.
Now, everything I heard was that this could, you know, be completed today once this all of this is aired.
All right.
They've talked to police. You know, they've given their new account of it all.
Should we take a quick break and come back and see if we have this press conference? Is that what you would suggest?
I've been listening to the press conference, but unless your Portuguese is better than mine,
it's kind of
Portuguese.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
All right, well, hurry up and translate that.
There's no app on anyone's phone that can just translate that? What's wrong?
I'm surprised. I don't
understand
there isn't.
It. That's
all right, well, we'll take a quick break and more on that coming up in the news. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Bear down, Chicago Bears. You know, the Bears are playing preseason football tonight.
Wait, isn't it fall down, Chicago Bears? It's bear down, Chicago Bears?
Adam Hoge, you got to talk to Bill Leff. He's making me mad with this Bears talk.
Wait till next year.
Well, yeah, you're already giving up, huh? It's
yep.
August.
It's not this year. It's not happening.
The preseason. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. It is really hard to not score a single point in the preseason.
Yes.
That is hard to do. And Monday here in Foxborough was not a pretty sight when the Bears went up against the Patriots, who are obviously one of the best teams in the league year in and year out. But they did turn it around on Tuesday in practice. And, you know, maybe, you know, they should look better tonight. We'll see.
I read something on CBSSports.com a few days ago, Adam, where they ranked your top 32 quarterbacks, each team submitting one quarterback. Jay Cutler, 25th out of 32. I say they ranked him too high.
Wow.
He has such disdain for Jay Cutler, so Kevin and I are trying to get him in the studio so Jay can just punch Bill.
Jay was pretty good last year. I mean, he was...
Bill?
They held him back a little bit.
If
they didn't really let him over.
If you don't use winning as a barometer for pretty good, I would agree with you.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, he is a... He certainly has only been in the playoffs once. With the Bears,
right.
Actually once in his entire career.
Right.
And Tom Brady here in New England goes to the playoffs every single year.
I'm sick of Tom Brady.
It should matter. Yeah, well. Yeah.
Adam will never speak to us again
right,
on the
let's
air.
Say
and he covers the Chicago Bears for us.
Adam, let's say a team
I love you guys.
Offered this sort of trade. They'd say, you give us Jay Cutler and we'll give you...
Your
a
grandmother.
Loaf of bread.
Oh.
Would you take that trade?
No, because...
Why?
Do you remember, Bill?
Yes.
The about 20 years of football before Jay Cutler got
yes.
to Chicago?
Yes.
I mean, I understand people being frustrated with Jay Cutler, but... There's been a lot of other factors that have gone on to the, you know, with the Bears not making the playoffs the last.
I agree
five,
with you.
Seasons.
That's true.
And it was a lot worse before Jay got to Chicago. How many quarterbacks did the Bears go through?
I love this joke.
A lot. The answer is a crazy lot.
Yeah, they were the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
that's what you don't want to become again is the Cleveland Browns.
Right. Right.
When are you and Ed Obradovich going to get together and just yell at each other?
The Heart Attack Gang? That's what the name of the show would be. It would just be... But it's not just me and it's not just Ed Obradovich. It's other people in the know saying, you got to blow this thing up. But then when you blow something up, you got to get the components, the right parts to make it work. The Bears just don't seem to understand how to do that.
Well, they're in the process of doing that. The hard thing is with the quarterback... position. There are so few quarterbacks that
can actually play in the NFL. I mean, even if you look at the college game, there aren't many good quarterbacks, even in the college level. And so you see a team like the Rams give up a ton to move up in the draft this year,
right,
to draft Jared Goff out of Cal, and he might not even be that good.
Right.
So far in the preseason, he hasn't even looked that good. So the thing is, if you're going to move on from Jay Cutler, the question is, who are you going to bring in? And that is a hard question to answer. So right now, this new Bears regime led by Ryan Pace has actually turned over this roster a ton in the last 2 years. It's almost basically a new roster other than the quarterback and some of the, you know, the Kyle Longs and the Kyle Fuller, some of the last draft, and Alshon Jeffries. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's mostly a brand new team.
What can we expect to see tonight, Adam? What are you hoping for?
A point. Well, 1 point.
Yeah,
one goal.
A single field. Yeah, I mean, look, the offense has to do more than they did last week. They had the first team offense at 13 yards.
Yeah.
12 of them came on one throw to Alshon Jeffery. So how about a first down? How about, getting the ball past the 40-yard line, which they failed to do last week?
Yep.
Score some points. This is a good New England defense. And they got to show offensively what they can do. Now, on the other side of the football, I actually kind of like what the Bears have done on defense. I think they have some potential on defense this year. And there's been conflicting reports today here in New England about whether or not Tom Brady is going to play. If he does play, it'll be a very short amount, maybe only one series. And then you're going to see a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo, who's an Arlington Heights kid who went to Eastern Illinois and is going to have to start the first four games this year for the Patriots while Tom Brady serves his suspension.
A lot of pressure there, huh?
It is, but I got to know Jimmy a little bit during the draft process a couple years ago because he was a local kid, and you know, he's a good kid, he's a smart kid, and I think he's actually pretty talented. So I'm just as much interested to see what he can do tonight against the Bears defense as what the Bears defense can do against him, because he's still a young quarterback, so they should be able to have some success.
What do you make of, we're seeing this more and more, teams practicing, like the Bears have done this with New England all this week.
Yeah.
What's the good in that, in practicing? I know there was a couple of skirmishes. The two teams didn't really get along very well, but you'd anticipate that. You'd think that would make sense. But what do you get out of that, of practicing against another team?
Well, the Bears couldn't even get along with themselves in Bourbon, so it wasn't surprising to see them get a little bit of a, you know, some pushing and shoving here,
yeah,
in New England this week against the Patriots. But, you know, I think it's something that a lot of coaches are starting to buy into. You know, we talked to Bears general manager Ryan Pace yesterday on our Bears podcast, Intentional Grounding. You can hear that whole interview at WGNRadio.com. But we asked him that question, you know, what is the value, or how much value do you put in these practices versus regular practices against your own guys? And Ryan told us he puts a ton of value. You know, they're looking at that tape from Monday and Tuesday when the pads were on just as much as they're looking at tonight's game against the Patriots, because when you see them against a different level of talent and different guys, I think it really helps them evaluate this roster. And so I think that's why teams are starting to do this a little bit more, because you get tired of the monotony of facing your own teammates every single day in practice.
Sure.
So it's a bit of a switch up just mentally, but also it's a different evaluation because you're going up against different talent. And the Patriots actually practiced against the New Orleans Saints last week here in New England, and then they did it again against the Bears this week. So they've actually done it 2 weeks in a row, which I've never seen before.
Yeah.
So Bill Belichick is really buying into this.
All right, what I don't understand, and Bill, I'm going to direct this towards you because you're the only one I'm talking to right now.
Oh.
You don't fall out of love with the Cubs, and how many years have they lost?
Right.
Yet the only team we have in town,
yes,
the Bears,
yes,
you're already done.
You know what? I'm not done yet. I'll give them a game or two. But last year, after one game, I said out loud, I can't put myself through the anguish of watching this team. They don't know how to win. They don't seem to want to win. It's such a frustrating team. Do you agree with any of that, Adam?
I understand why Bears fans are getting frustrated. I mean, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. And the 2 years of the Mark Trestman era and the 3 years of the Phil Emery experiment, which was just a complete disaster, I think turned a lot of fans off. I think Ryan Pace and John Fox know what they're doing. I've been encouraged by what they've been doing, but they are also kind of showing when they get rid of Matt Forte in the offseason and they get rid of Martellus Bennett and they get rid of Matt Flossen, that this is going to, you know, they're being patient, and fans don't want to be patient, right? They want to see results right away. So I understand the fans that are getting frustrated. I think that if I can give them any encouragement, it's that, trust me, these guys that are in charge now are way more worthy of trusting than the disaster that was Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. I think these guys know what they're doing. So can you sit through another season of, you know, 8-8, 9-7, I think is maybe best case scenario this year. That could be tough, but it would at least be a step in the right direction.
Are they in the room with you right now? That's why you're saying that, isn't it? They're behind you, aren't they?
We have a texter who just said, win as a team, lose as a team, Bill. Enough said.
No, I agree with that. I would just like to see some of that winning as a team that he mentioned.
And then someone else texted. I said that Kevin and I are working to try and get Jay Cutler in here so he can punch you. And someone said, Cutler can't throw a ball. What makes you think he can throw a punch?
Wow.
I would have to stand straight and he would keep missing me.
Oh, geez.
He would keep hitting a guy in a Colts jersey for some weird reason.
Go to the pack. See if we care. Then you're never coming back.
I'm considering it. I'm thinking about it.
Adam, he already said, because, you know, Kim Gordon is a big Packer fan because she's, you know, from that area.
Right.
And she
I'm
said,
thinking about it. She brought me a brochure. I'm looking at it.
You know, not many people know this, but my wife is a Packer fan.
Is she really?
Yeah, mixed marriage.
Wow.
And even in my side of the family, probably more than 50% are from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And Packer fans, too. So my 2-year-old at home, I'm interested to see what happens there.
He's a great dancer. He doesn't need to know anything about football or guitar player.
That's right.
You got to follow Adam Hoge to see some pretty funny pictures of his son. All right, Bears, Patriots tonight. What are you thinking? What are you hoping?
Well, I hope that offensively they show a little bit more potential, because there was nothing in that game last week against the Broncos, and that was pretty discouraging. So if they can move the ball against the Patriots defense, which is pretty good, that'll be a big step forward and a big improvement from last week. And if I can throw one more thing in there, a little bit of a news item today that I found out. Kyle Fuller, the Bears cornerback, did not make this trip this week.
Oh.
That's been well documented in the last few days. Well, they said he has a knee injury that he's been dealing with since the offseason, and they basically just decided to keep him at home this week and do more medical evaluations and kind of come up with a plan. And yesterday Ryan Pace told us that they were evaluating all options. What I was told today is that you will not see Kyle Fuller the rest of the preseason, and they're hoping he is back for week one against the Houston Texans, but that is not a guarantee at this point.
Interesting.
And when the Bears spell week one, they spell it W-E-A-K. Is that correct? Are we spelling that correctly?
Adam, we better let you go before you get in trouble.
Yeah. Adam, thank you. Our prayers are with you. You know that. Godspeed.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Adam Hoge, love you. Thank you so much.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, Adam.
He's done. He will never be on our show again.
I don't think he will.
And somebody has texted, Cutler may be a good quarterback, but not a good leader. I'd agree with that.
He has so much talent and ability and just doesn't use it properly. That's why it's so frustrating.
Why don't you go coach him? What you do.
I think at this point he's uncoachable. I don't think you can coach him.
Someone else says if Cutler was ever given a good offensive line, he would be awesome.
That would help.
It's teamwork.
I agree.
He can't be blamed for everything.
I know. You're right. You're absolutely right.
The stupid look on his face, that's his own deal. He just looks unenthralled all the time. And that, I think, is what bothers me the most. But, you know, I'm a Bears fan. I'm going to give him a chance.
All right. That's fair. A quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know how sometimes I'll say, actually, I say this almost every day. no good deed shall go unpunished.
You say it several times a day.
I do say it a lot.
And it's turning out to be true. I still try, but...
I wish it weren't true, but so many times we try to do something good, and it just ends up blowing up in our faces, and then, like I said, we get punished. McDonald's, they're famous for their hamburgers.
Over how many billion served?
They've sold many, many hamburgers over the years. They've got them all over the place now, these McDonald's restaurants. They tried to do something nice. They said, you know, they were under all kinds of scrutiny because they said, you know, kids come in and they order a hamburger and fries and a milkshake, and then you give them a toy, so that makes them want to eat even more McDonald's because you give them a Happy,
oh, the
meal,
Happy Meal
toy.
Toys.
So McDonald's said, you know what? There might be something to that. Let's give them something healthy, right? And they came up with a thing that's it's like a Fitbit, but I think they called it like a McActivity Tracker. Or an activity.
They've got to rethink that
name.
Yeah,
the name isn't great. The name's not great. So
sales have plummeted now?
It's come back to bite them. Listen to this. An attempt by McDonald's to get kids moving isn't working out so great. The chain said that it will no longer distribute activity trackers, and this is a new thing. They've only just started using them a couple of weeks ago. The chain will stop distributing activity trackers in its Happy Meals after reports that they might cause skin irritation. And I would say they probably do, or you wouldn't pull them. You would just go, well, they might cause skin irritation. Get back to us when we see some rashes, McRashes. Show me a McRash, and we'll take these off the market.
For a limited time only.
Right. The Oak Brook, Illinois-based company said on Wednesday...
Which is moving to Harpo.
It's going to be right down the street.
Yeah.
Well, close by. We can walk there at lunch. It received limited reports of potential skin irritations. Notice how they're being with the wording on this. They're throwing in so many different out clauses. Potential skin irritations that may be associated with the bands, which look like step counters. Terry Hickey, a McDonald's representative, said in an email that McDonald's is fully investigating the issue and that restaurants are offering their youngest guests an alternative Happy Meal toy.
Yeah, a toy.
Right. Not a Fitbit or a McTracker. A toy. A big a toy or a little toy. Hickey declined to provide further details. The fitness bands, which were available in the United States and Canada, were seen as an odd promotion in some circles, because McDonald's has a reputation for serving fattening junk food. Now, to be on their side for a minute, yeah, some of the food you get at McDonald's isn't the healthiest thing in the world, but they have gone out of their way in recent years.
Those apple things that no one gets.
Right.
You can choose that or fries.
Right.
What kid, unless their mom's making them,
gets
the
apple shaving things?
Apple slices.
Yeah, it's apple slices.
And you know what? When you go to McDonald's, you know what you're getting. You get it. You shouldn't eat it every day. All things in moderation, people.
Yeah.
It's not McDonald's fault that people's fat. People are fat. It's my fault that I can't speak English. But it's not their fault that kids are fat.
I don't think it is.
Just don't go there every day.
Right. Well, they're every other day.
No.
The chain has been trying to shed its image for years, particularly with parents, in part by tweaking its Happy Meals to include fruit, which you just mentioned. In one New York City location, the activity tracker bands, which look like watches, were available as recently as yesterday. But the bag says that the activity bands were made in China. I don't know why that was listed in the story. China's not out to get us by giving our kids rashes.
No, but it's plastic, guys. When you wear plastic on your wrist when you're a kid and it looks like a fake Fitbit.
Right.
And you sweat.
Right.
There's no breathability in it. You're going to get a rash.
Right.
It's no one's fault.
They should have tested this out a little bit better, maybe.
Again, don't give a Fitbit from McDonald's. They're not going there to be fit.
Right. Right.
All things in moderation.
But it looks good on paper. Like on paper, you see that, you go, well, they're doing their part.
You know what? People should do their own part.
Yeah.
Be responsible for your own junk food addiction.
Agreed.
I am.
Wendy is. Rowan Anna will be in a moment. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.